So I get arrested. I am drunk. I blew a .16 twice at the station.
A .16?
Yeah, twice.
Twice the legal limit.
Yeah, I was
tanked.
But at the time, I was a really good drinker, so I wasn't.
Good tolerance.
I was functioning.
Ni hao. Huang Yang, Ning Dao, Ari Shavida, Hua Yuja, Shui Xiang, Bising, Ari Shafir, Buda Baizu. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ari Shafir Skeptic Tank. I'm Ari Shafir. I'm coming to you live. Well, I guess recorded. I'm recording it, but I'm recording it live. I guess that's always how things are recorded. From the Great Wall of China, outside Beijing. What a fucking hike. They shouldn't call it the Great Wall of China. They should call it the Great Steps of China, because it's like a billion steps. Motherfuck. Where was this energy when I was playing Nick Youssef in basketball? Shit, fuck. I gotta get back all the way down now. I went all the way to the top to where the Great Wall ended, which, if you ask me, I mean, that's where the Mongols should have attacked. I should have just hit him right where the Great Wall ended. Doesn't really end. It just gets less maintained. Man, it's cool up here. This is like the top of the world, you guys. I'm about to go back down. It's going to take me 45 more minutes. But man, it's been a fun trip in China so far. A bunch of days in Shanghai and outside Shanghai and Suzhou, Hangzhou, Wuxi, which kind of sucked. Shanghai was fucking rad. It's like New York, but dirtier and safer. It's so fucking safe. There's no crime. There's, like, no crime. A couple, like, bikes get stolen every year. But there's no violent crime. They had this comic in Shanghai who shoplifted a lady, like, stole her purse. They caught him because he was black. He was a black guy caught on camera on the trains. Oh, and shit, fuck. They gave him 8 months in jail. It's just not worth it to fuck around. So yeah, Shanghai was really cool. I saw, like, right away I landed. Turner Sparks took me around. We passed this guy with, like, gangrene leg. I mean, his leg was rotting away. As we were coming up to him, some homeless guy, he was like, don't look, don't look. And I mean, come on, man. What, do you know anything about me? Of course, if you say that, I'm going to look. Of course I'm going to look. And I looked hard. And I should not have. I mean, this leg was fucking purple. Like, almost the whole front of the calf was purple on the outside. Like an inch below the knee to mid-shin. And then inside that purple was this yellowish. And that was a long oval. And then inside the yellowish was just a little bit of, what are you going to guess? Wrong. Exposed bone. Man, if you thought the homeless people in New York were needy, or if you didn't believe him, you got to believe him out here. When this guy's with one arm and one leg just sitting there, it's like, oh, you just want one of these Chinese dollars that's worth 15 cents? You know what? Fuck it. I'll give it to you. Just to be clear and honest, I did not ever give them any money. I feel bad about it now. Yeah, it's been a fun shit trip. There's this comedy scene in Shanghai and in Beijing. It's like burgeoning. It's like starting. Although, like, the oldest comics are like 3-4 years in. So it's kind of interesting. In Beijing, they got this one guy named Des Bishop, who's he's like a really big Irish comic. He's American, but he's big in Ireland. And so he's out there. So he's like the godfather, I guess. But then the rest of them are just fucking cool, man. Just a bunch of expats being cool. I got to be more open with, like, who I meet and stuff. These guys are all stuck. They're all foreigners. But it's not like they're foreigners with Germans and with French and with whatever. And they all just mingle in together. There's like 250,000. I think that was the number they said. 250,000 expats of all kinds. Foreigners in China. So, I mean, that doesn't include Koreans who don't speak English. But anyone who speaks English, I mean, you're just around them, man. They all learn Chinese, too. That's fucking cool out here. I'm glad I came. Fuck, this long walk back is going to be forever. Man, I thought of quitting like 10 times. I saw those steps and I was like, no fucking way. I'm out of shape. Anyway, on today's episode of the Skeptic Tank, Billy Wayne Davis is joining me. Billy Wayne he's really cool. I've met him like a bunch of times at festivals and stuff. And then didn't really know him. I mean, I lived in Atlanta. No, the first time I met him was in fucking West Palm Beach, Florida. He drove down from Atlanta to MC for me and Diaz because Rogan had to leave. So me and Diaz headlined a show on Sunday and the late show Saturday. And he drove down from Atlanta. And then they didn't pay him. The fucking improv. You dirty fuckers. Guy drove all the way down from Atlanta. You're not going to give him $50 a show. You fucking cheap assholes. At the time, I was like, oh, that's wrong. But now I'm like, oh, you're just dudes. You're just cheap fucking dudes who are saving $50 a pop on a guy driving all the way from Atlanta. I mean, that could have broken a guy like that. You would have made a guy quit comedy. Fuck you, improv. Just the chain, not the individually owned ones. But yeah, so I met Billy from his own podcast. He's got his own podcast. He didn't have one when we did this. His podcast is called The What's What Podcast with Billy Wayne Davis. We did this about 2 years ago when he was just thinking of moving to LA. He came and got a hotel in the fucking dinge part of town. I gotta put pause while I'm passing people here. And I went up and did it with him about divorce. It's about divorce. He got divorced. You know, I like showing the negative sides of relationships. And this wasn't an amicable thing like Siroff and like the Siroffs. This was the other side of divorce. And then about a month later, before I put it out, he was like, Ari, you can't put that out. I've been on pretty good terms with the wife now, with the ex-wife. We're getting along. It's going to rock the boat. She's fiery, and I just don't want to rock the boat. So I was like, motherfuck. But, you know, I'm not trying to hurt anybody, so. God, the sweat's getting in my eye. So I was like, all right, I'll bury it. But then instead of deleting, I just saved it. With the extreme hope that one day he would change his mind. And then years later, I was going to China, and I only had 2 podcasts saved up that I could air, and I needed 3. So I was like, Billy Wayne, listen to this podcast. Tell me if there's anything I can't play now. And he was like, you know what, man? Listen to it. It's fine. We're good. Go ahead and play it. So thank you, Billy Wayne. A couple dates. I got nothing new. The Storyteller Show is going to record on September 8th and 9th in LA at Cheetah's. We have a June 30th. I have one at Union Hall in New York. Miss Pat will be there. I think Big J Okerson. I'm working on a few other people. I'm trying to get Birbiglia. If anybody knows Mike Birbiglia, tweet at him. Tell him to do the show. It's all stories of childhood. I call it My Buddy and Me, but I think I'm going to change it to 1 to Years for childhood. So get tickets, $15 ahead of time, $20 at the door, but it's a small room. It's going to sell out. So I'm just doing it to do one in New York. It's in Brooklyn. Get tickets for that. I'll be in Calgary in September. Montreal, the Nasty Show, July. Oh, and then one date in August in Chicago at Zany's. Just one night. I think me and Nick Youssef are going up there. And Miss Pat might, you know, do a guest spot. We'll see. She's going to be there the week, like following week. I think it's on a Wednesday I'm doing the show. And Nick Youssef is recording. Ah, fuck, I got to pause this. But remind me to come back to Nick Youssef. Hold on. So Nick Youssef, who does a podcast called, the air's light up here, I'm trying to remember, Occasionally Awesome, that I've been on a couple times, I think, at least once. And he's an old friend of mine, and he's a known terrorist. They have him in the watch list. And he's a fuckface basketball player. I wore his socks that he came inside on my feet. He's recording a CD, everybody. This is like one of the biggest things in a comedian's life. It's a chance to record their first CD. And he's doing it in San Diego, California at the La Jolla Comedy Store this weekend, Friday and Saturday. And if you call up, he's offering a 2-for-1 discount tickets. If you call up and say All Things Comedy when you're making your reservations, it's 2-for-1 tickets. So guys, go out. The Cubes has been around forever. I mean, we were fucking employees at the Comedy Store together, and he's finally recording a CD. So it's be there. Be a cool crowd. Help him out. Because you got to have a full room. You got to have a full room to record a CD. Otherwise, it's kind of lame. So make sure to go there. All right. That's it. Don't forget to go through my Amazon link on my website, arithegreat.com, to do your Amazon shopping. As always, you can just click on there. If you don't see it, it's right below my dates. If you don't see it, it's because you have ad blockers on. And check out all my dates. I'll be in New York a bunch through the summer. all through in July and whatever, and then Calgary, down a bunch of dates coming in the next few months. And I'm finalizing my next special. I don't think it's going to be till October. But that's okay. I need to develop a through line anyway. I was a little lazy. I was hoping I wouldn't have to do it. I talked to Rogan. I got to do a little more work. Fucking Shanghai was cool. By the way, it made me get a new respect for foreigners, people you don't understand. When I used to do this thing when they would, you know, when a Japanese or a Chinese person would come in and say, they'd try, they'd be like, thank you. They would try to learn the language. Thank you. It's like, I'm like, you say it all weird. You fucking idiot. Thank you. Moron. And then I realized when I got here, it's fucking impossible to learn a brand new language when you can't even read the symbols. You can't read the goddamn symbols. I would order food. I would ask the word for noodle, mayan, and what the word for beef is. I think it's, let's see if I remember. Ryu, no. The guy from The Matrix. Emo, no. What was his first name? Black guy? Emo Ruh. Whatever his name is, Ruh. His beef. So you go, you ask for beef noodles, and then they point to a fucking list, and they're like, well, here's 30 kinds. I'm assuming that's what they said. And you're like, dude, I don't know. You know why I'm here. You know I don't know anything. Just give me whatever you think is right. So if anyone's ordering that's Chinese or French or whatever, and they ask for something, just give them what you think they want. Just don't even ask to narrow it down. They don't know English. Hold on. By the way, well, shit, fuck. Steps down are tough. I did learn that it's no communism in China. It's just totalitarianism. But if you work and earn money, you keep that money. Like, they don't, like, take all the money and then give it out to everybody. It's, like, different. Mao came, and from what I understand, he put communism in there, and then that just sort of, like, didn't stick after, you know, 50 years or whatever. You know, they want to trade with Westerners. Oh, man, this is beautiful up here. Oh, I also discovered something called the Chinese bikini. Which I love. Which is when you take your t-shirt or shirt or whatever and you just pick it up and kind of tuck it in under your underarms, just exposing the belly, giving the belly some air. Oh, love that. This guy who loves to take a shirt off in public. What a great compromise. What a wonderful compromise. All right, fuck it. I'm stopping. I was going to tell you guys more about China, but I'll save it for next week after I go to Hong Kong. The shows here are pretty cool. And if you're a fucking expat, you got to have an adventurous spirit. Something about that that makes you want to do that. Oh, and I'll just tell you this. I went to the Great Wall. That's where I'm at now. No, excuse me. I went to the Imperial Palace. The Forbidden Gardens. Forbidden Palace? I forgot. But Tiananmen Square. And where the emperor used to live. And I walked around in there. Didn't plan on diarrhea. But yet, there it was. Hi, guys. How are you? There's no place to go. So you run into a toilet. I wasn't going to make it. And you open up the shitter. And it's one of those squat toilets. It's one of those holes in the ground that you got to squat on. And I was like, no fucking way. And I turned around. But then the diarrhea had his retort. And was like, no, you're going now. And I fucking pulled my pants down around my ankles. And sweat squatted. Shat at the Imperial Palace. Where 50 emperors have shat. Way to join history. Every time I pass people, I get super embarrassed to do this. God, these are a lot of steps. All right, I'm done. You guys, I'll talk more about it. I'll read all my notes. I'll talk more about it. I'm going to think I'll do a podcast when I get back with Dez. All right. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank. Episode 171. Lights out, because here's why. Because at certain times when your relationship is over, it is over. And this was clearly a relationship that was over. It was something Dice told me a long time ago. He's like, you know, when men, and I don't think he's right about men or women, but I think it's just some people and some people. But he goes, when men turn off, when they like stop liking a girl, it just sort of dims. And you know, you could always like him again, maybe, but you sort of don't like him. And he said, when a girl turns off, no, actually, he was wrong. He said that about a girl, sort of dims, then come back. But he said, when a guy shuts off, it's just done. Like, we're done with you forever. And he goes, it's harder to get a guy to shut off, but when they do, it's finished. And this reminded me of that, because Billy Wayne Davis, his light, those lights are out on that love. So, episode 171, lights out with Billy Wayne Davis. Shish it for listening. Enjoy. You know what? There's more I wanted to say about China. I mean, the air is too thin up there in the Great Wall. So there's a few more things. One, just that homeless guy with a gangrene leg, that was the only homeless guy I saw in Shanghai. There were no other ones. I saw like a bunch in Beijing, but that was the only one in Shanghai. And then I was walking back. Oh, fucking people are coming now. Why are they coming now? Well, I'll just do this quickly. I was walking back one night at like 3 a.m. Totally safe in Shanghai. Totally safe. And I was thinking of someplace to eat. I was going to go get something to eat. But I had to look to see if they had anything in English or even pictures. I was looking for pictures to get something to eat. And then I was going one way and I couldn't decide if I should go in there or not. But I saw some guy who was looking at me, and I felt, you know, self-conscious, like he's going to know I'm a tourist. This guy was cleaning. He was cleaning out garbage cans. It was like 2:30 in the morning, 2:45. He was cleaning out garbage cans. I'm assuming that was his government job. And I saw, I don't even know if he was looking, but I saw, I didn't go look at the restaurant because I was afraid I was going to look bad. But then I realized how much I'm influenced by what other people think of me. Because if there's anyone, first of all, you shouldn't care if anybody thinks you're a tourist when you are. You're round eye in a land of Asians. Like, of course you're a tourist. Unless it's a Jackie Chan movie, like, you're not supposed to be there. Chris Tucker. But I was like, if there's anyone I shouldn't care what they think of me, it's a 3 a.m. garbage cleaner in Shanghai. I gotta let go, man. I gotta stop. I gotta completely stop caring about what these people think. Is that the only other thing I wanted to say? Oh, yeah, there's one other thing maybe. Is that I saw a lot of people who looked exactly like that poster from Korea or Vietnam, with that guy getting shot. You know, the one guy shooting with his hand out, and the other guy's like squinting and like, he's about to get shot. I saw a lot of people with that same face, and they weren't about to get shot. So I think I have to reevaluate that poster, and maybe it was just a sunny day, and that's why he was squinting like that, and the bullet hadn't even gone in yet. Okay, last thing. I was going to eat more street meat, but there was a video going around that showed how those street vendors sold to all the noodles they sell on the ones that, you know, street meat, but noodles versions. The oil they got was reclaimed sewer oil. They would take sewage out of the sewer and like boil off boil off the fecal matter and then use whatever was left to cook your noodles. So that mostly is what stopped me from eating any of the street vendor stuff. I ended up getting the meat because they weren't cooking that in oil. But the next day my shit came out, and it was a color that I've never seen before, and it floated. It floated for like 2 days after that. All right, here we go. Let's start the episode. 171. Lights off with Billy Wayne Davis. Here we go. Just start.
Are we starting?
Yeah.
Oh,
I just start. Yeah, the headband though is like, that's my friend Pete's like favorite weed.
Favorite.
Yeah, like he loved it. They used to have that headband at Zen dispensary.
I don't understand. Like, I mean, I guess what? I do have like one favorite of all time.
What's your favorite?
It was called Epic.
Epic.
But I don't think they make it anymore.
Or was that in Seattle?
No, it was here.
Oh. Yeah, some of them like you just get once in a while, and you're like, "Oh, that was great." And those might be like someone who has a strain, and just let's say I get seeds from you. Let's say you have some OG Kush,
yeah,
and I get it, and then I'm like, I'm gonna call it the OG Jew.
Oh, so you just I'll just rename it,
but it's not really that strain. So then it goes away. But when the strain comes around, and other people start having like Blue Dream, you've seen 1,000 times.
Yeah,
and Maui Wowie is. Always good.
Sour Diesel,
OG Kush. Those are like normal strains that everybody has.
So that's, okay, so that's somebody that, some botanist made that.
Yeah.
And then they make the seeds and sell the seeds.
Yeah.
So it's always that good, or is it the way they grow it?
It's the way they grow it, too. My friend who grows my favorite strain.
You know a lot
about weed. My favorite strain, which they just renamed, it's an OG Kush, but they just renamed it Death Squad OG.
Oh, nice.
So you can sell LA Speedweed just to like... But it's my favorite. And it's and when he grows it sometimes, he'll tell me once in a while, because I'll buy it by the ounce from him.
Yeah.
And once in a while, I'll be like, hey, this batch, it's a good batch.
What makes it better?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you. Because that also implies that there's other batches that are not as good.
Yeah.
It's like to get an average, you have stuff below the average and above the average.
Yeah.
He said it's all a matter of how much work he puts in. So if he's in there every day running water through the system and like clipping off the extra things, I don't know for sure exactly what it is. But if you're constantly doing work or you just leave it for a week and a half and say, it'll be fine, that's when you get like an okay.
But do you think that's more psychological where like he put the work in so he's like, this is better?
No. Sometimes you can be like, Jesus, man, this batch you have this week.
Okay.
Goes, oh, yeah, I put some stuff into it. Or sometimes you're like, eh. And he goes, I've been fucking around. So it's weird. So sometimes you'll get from the same dispensary the same strain.
But it's not the same.
Some guy just doesn't work that hard that time. You know?
That's disheartening.
Yeah.
So what...
Okay. But it always... Also, it's a matter of cleanliness too. Cleanliness. You know how when you smoke... It's not right, though. You know you smoke, sometimes you cough.
And yeah.
Sometimes it's just like super clean.
Just
you don't
smooth.
Cough. Yeah.
Just
smoother.
Okay.
That's a function of how much water you run through it as the filtration thing.
Okay, so it's like a cleaner.
It's a dispensary owner told me that once, yeah. And so that shitty weed that you cough on, they're like, they don't work hard. They don't fucking do the extra time that it takes to
And
make
that's
this.
Why, like, when you're on the road and you get that dirt weed. It's just awful.
Diaz calls it nigger weed.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just awful.
You can get away with that.
It's just like, it'll get you high.
For a minute. And then you get a headache.
Tom Rhodes is always, I love quoting him on this. What do you got, a pipe or papers or anything?
I've got papers, and then I've got this thing, but...
That doesn't smoke real pot, though, does it?
This?
Yeah. Just oil.
I put pot in it.
Real pot in it?
Am I not supposed to?
Oh, some of them do. Somebody sent me one of those vapor pens and said you can put real pot in it, but they sent me a video that I haven't watched yet on how to do it.
Yeah, it just heats that up, and then...
Oh, just vapor, and then you just pour it all out?
Yeah, it's and like, then I just go like that.
If you do it too much, is it just going to burn eventually?
What,
it's going
to
combust? Yeah.
Well, I had to buy these two, like this part.
An attachment?
No, because I lost it.
Oh. What is that, G-Pen? Those are the best ones.
Cloud. Yeah. It's okay. All right. I got a fatty one.
A fatty one?
No, I got fatty. Fatty Warbucks. That's what I call Ralphie.
Oh, Fatty Warbucks. Oh, yeah.
Fatty Warbucks.
That's what you call him?
Yeah.
Because he's always buying everything for everybody.
Yeah, and he's fat.
He is. And he's fat.
He does not like that, but...
He doesn't like it?
No.
He gets real weird about fat nicknames.
He does.
He's like, give me other nicknames. I do a terrible Ralphie.
That's a pretty good... It's basically Cartman.
When
he's mad.
Yeah. It's when Cartman's mad. Yeah, that's what it is.
But that's what I hate buying gifts for, like, my friends that are loaded. Because I was like, you know, I spent some money on that. And, yeah. And then, like, I saw him 2 weeks later, and I was like, hey, how's that? And he's like, oh, it broke. I got a really nice one, though. I got a better one. I was like, okay. Gotta quit buying gifts for my rich friends.
Yeah. Or I bought a present from Mitzi once. It's her birthday. Mitzi Shore, the owner of the store. And I knew she was into jazz. And certain, she's into, like, certain females over time. She loves Mae West.
Yeah.
Ella Fitzgerald. I bought this Ella Fitzgerald box set CD. Knew she'd like it.
Yeah.
I just knew. I drove her around enough where I'm like, you will like that. You know, when you get a present, somebody's like, yeah, this will be,
you get
this will be right. You know? If I bought Ralphie, like, 20 of those breast strips, he'd be like, thanks, man.
Yes.
I'll use this. Yes, this is exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
You know? Or the old Ralphie when he could still smoke. But he's not back to smoking, is he?
I don't know if I'm... I think I just said...
Yeah, you said enough with your pause. That's why I asked
you. Yeah, I really did. I think he's going to... He doesn't smoke out of a pipe or anything. It's all vaporized.
I thought he's not allowed to even eat it, though.
I don't think he eats it.
But I thought I'm saying he's not allowed to ingest it in any way.
I'm not exactly sure, but I know he smokes it a little bit now.
Does he seem like he's taking a chance with his life, or does he just seem like he's...
No, I think it's healthier for him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's in a lot of pain.
Well, he had the problem when he hit... They told him he had to quit because of that
not embolisms.
Intestinal problems, but whatever it was.
He had lung problems, and then there was some weird estrogen thing, too.
Yeah. There's certain things he's also not allowed to eat, like spinach. There's, like, a few things that have carotene. Certain things that he's just not allowed to have.
Oh, that sounds like just a fat thing.
That does sound like a fat thing, but he's like, no, like, I can't eat kale. I just can't have spinach. It was, like, one of those where it's it's just specifically this.
I've never seen him eat kale.
I'm making up what those were, but when I asked him, I was like, wait a minute. Are you just trying to get out of salad?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, no, I can get these other things. But, But he goes, no, weed, I can't because of his immune system, something like that. He goes, I can't have weed. But then the problem was he quit smoking weed. He goes, weed was helping his back, his anxiety.
Everything.
Yeah, and he had to replace all that shit with pills.
Yeah, and that's why, like, when he said he was smoking again, he was like, and I don't have to take as many pills. I was like, I think it's a better trade-off.
Not if he's going to fucking have immune system problems.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know
either. He has a lot of problems.
I just don't want him to die.
I don't either.
Sooner than he will, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, he's ahead of us.
What do you mean ahead of us?
As far as dying.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a head start on us.
Well, there's no people. This is not going to be what the podcast is about. I'm going to get a divorce later. But, like, there's no people that are Ralphie's age that are 65.
No.
I was going to say 50, but I was on the safe side by saying 65.
I think 65 is safer. That makes me feel better about talking about it. But, yeah, you're right.
It just doesn't.
And he's a lot. I don't think people realize. Because people are like, you know, is he going to lose some more weight? I'm like, he weighed like over 700 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
People
when you
don't
see the picture
it.
Of him at 800, it was like, oh, you are significantly bigger.
Like
man.
A fat guy.
Yeah.
Smaller. And still a fat guy. Yeah.
400 pounds.
When he told me he weighed 800 pounds, like, I wasn't like grossed out or anything. I was impressed.
That number.
That's like a feat.
Is that a ton? How much is in a ton? A
ton is 2,000 pounds.
So.
I think.
No, he's not a ton then.
No. I think he might have been like he could have said like a quarter ton or something like that.
Yeah.
Which still sounds, that's kind of impressive.
He could have said a quarter ton, yeah. Be a third of a ton.
But yeah, I never thought about that. You don't see anybody that.
Mm-mm. I thought about it just because I know I'm worried about him.
Are you in those death pools?
Yeah, but I don't take my friends.
That's the weird thing. Like I looked on Stanhope's thing and I was like, I know some of these people. I don't think I could.
I did it once with Stanhope. I didn't do it this year because it was a lot of time. And then I like stopped thinking about either I'd root for certain people to die or I'd stop thinking about it. And they'd be like, hey, we got another kill. I'm like, oh, did I have him? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a weird. I thought about it, too, just to make money. And then I was like, I also don't play fantasy sports.
Yeah, that's why I don't do it more because the fantasy situate part about it takes
up
too much of my time.
I don't care that much. Yeah, I like watching sports. I can't play
fantasy football. I played fantasy basketball 1 year, and I didn't get shit done for a season.
Did you win?
Yeah, I won. My team, Armenian Genocide, beat Sam Tripoli's team in the quarterfinals and then Madrigal's team in the finals.
But it takes up so much time.
So much time. Always looking at injury reports. Who am I going to start? Which defenses are better? Even football. They're like, football's just once a week. Fuck that.
No, it's not. They made a whole show about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Ren Azizi's on a
and
fucking show.
And it's still on. Yeah. Because yeah. It's never going to stop.
Yeah, it's just all of that. As soon as Sunday, you see all the injuries, see who's going to be a new starter next week, so pick up people, drop people. And then you're always seeing who gets buys. You have to start different people. You can't just have a team and let it go for the year.
I did that like 6 years ago. It was probably 7 years, right before I moved from Nashville. A group of comics did it. And I did like the draft.
Yeah.
And then I kind of forgot about it because I started going on the road for the first time.
Yeah.
And then I won. And they were mad.
Oh, yeah. Like, I could see that.
Because they were doing it every... And I forgot.
And you still won?
And then they were like, hey, you won like $100. And I was like, from what? Oh. And they were like, you didn't even change... And they looked, and I didn't make any moves or anything. And I was like, okay. I had like Peyton Manning. I had some good picks.
Yeah.
They were just solid.
You didn't need to make moves on.
Yeah. So.
The best is my senior year of high school, I think. We had an NCAA tournament. Maybe it was junior year. And this girl, Lissa Scatole. Lissa Scatole had...
I like that you said that like I knew her. I was like, oh, yeah.
We had extra points for whoever picked UNLV to lose. If you got the game they lost in, because they were undefeated going in.
Yeah.
It was that year.
Okay.
So we had 15 points bonus if you get that. And then, you know, regular stuff. But it's also like, you know, one seed versus 16. You don't have to know who the teams are. You just know.
Yeah.
16 is probably going to lose.
Yeah. That's just playing numbers.
Yeah. Although I came in very last this year in the Comedy Store pool. First year ever. But she won. She called her the NAACP pool. Her dog's name was Duke, so she picked Duke, and she got the Duke bonus for picking over UNLV.
Because her dog's name was
His
Duke.
His dog's name was Duke, yeah. I don't know what number seed they were then, but it wasn't like UNLV. They were the far away favorite, and the only reason they lost, I guarantee you, is because they fucking shaved points, and then it got too close, and Duke hit some threes.
Yeah.
And then they couldn't fucking bring it back. In a five-minute game, anybody can win.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
And they made it a five-minute game. I'm positive, but we're like, let's just not tell her. She doesn't know.
She wouldn't know.
She wouldn't know, but we're like, we can't do this.
Yeah, that's a weird karma.
It violates the integrity of gambling.
Yes. Are there casinos in LA?
Yeah.
So you can go gamble in LA?
Poker. Not you can't do betting lines and stuff.
So I couldn't go like bet on sports?
No. But there's bookies I know I could hook you up with if you want.
I've never done. I like blackjack more than anything.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So I can go play
blackjack. They have 21 there.
What is...
Exactly. What is 21? It's this weird no bust game where you get blackjack, it still pays you. I don't know if it's 3-2, it might be 2-1, it might be 4-3, whatever it is,
yeah.
Some odds. But if you get a 23, let's say you hit on 13, get a 10, you're not done yet.
What?
Yeah. Because the dealer can bust higher than you, and then it's either like a push or you can still win. Something weird like that.
So if you get a 23 and the dealer hits a 25, you win?
You either win or don't lose. I've looked at it a few times.
So it's just like a push.
It might just be a push, which is like nicer, but then the odds for the rest of it are less. And there's also this other thing where every time around the table, the dealer can't be the dealer every time. So someone else comes. No, someone else comes in and acts as the bank for one trip around.
So what they've done is taken the blackjack odds and made them better for the house,
sort of. And then the dealer but you can be the house, you can be that if you want one time around, but then you got to bankroll
everybody.
If everybody gets blackjack in that time and you then you're fucked.
That is gambling.
But what will happen is these gambling places, like a dude who has a lot of money, is like, over time this will work out in my favor.
Yeah.
So he just gives this bank to people and they just play for him, and they're just like, you know, just fucking let people bet whatever they want.
Yeah.
And
now, I did that in college. Like, we would have parties and stuff, like gambling parties.
Uh-huh.
And I would be the house. And I'd always walk away with money.
Always. The house
never loses.
Never lose. Even in an hour, you probably won't lose.
Yeah. Yeah, you would always come out ahead.
Ren Azizi and I had it for, we had a fucking casino in the main room of the Comedy Store every night. He got this felt. And we started playing poker first, then he got this felt. He turned it over, like blackjack. We were just raking money.
And people just...
Every night, until Dean Gelber, the fucking manager, was like, you can't... You're not allowed to have a casino on premises of a business. I'm like, don't be a dick, man.
Yeah, we're
in a business. It's a comedy store.
It's like, what percentage do you want if you'll just shut up?
So that was all weed.
Yeah.
Just regular weed. The headband.
It does taste good.
Man, I've never been able to tell when people are like, oh, this tastes good. I'm like, tastes good.
Sometimes it does.
I'll tell you in 5 minutes how ripped I get.
Yeah.
The cloud. Well, that's a pretty good hit, man.
I travel with it.
You do?
Yeah. I put it in my backpack. It looks like a pen.
Yeah, nobody can tell.
Clean it up.
Did I show the video of Diaz smoking on a plane?
No.
I'll put it on the episode, on this episode. Diaz smoking one of these, weed, on a plane. Look at this. Camera roll. Please tell me it didn't lose. Look at this. That's the front seat of a plane. Smoke coming out.
Like, I'm docked in.
Did it smell?
No, it's vaporizer. Because I wonder that. Because I know I'm too used to the smell.
Yeah.
So I wonder that. But then we were smoking all the way to somewhere with someone who doesn't smoke and just using a vaporizer.
And they didn't.
And they were like, get lost in their text in the back. I'm like, hey, can you smell weed? They're like, no. You can bring it out if you want. And I was like, oh, no, we've been smoking it.
Yeah.
So the vaporizers really don't smell.
So I could just, I mean, in theory, I could go to the bathroom and use that.
Yeah, I was like, you don't even go to the bathroom? He goes, why? Why get up? And he goes like this. He goes and just swishes the vapor out of the way. And it's like really clouding above him. Front row.
Like first class?
I think we both got bumped to first class, or it might have been a Southwest flight where there was no first class.
Yeah.
It was something, but we were in the front.
Like next to the cockpit.
Around the corner.
Is the cockpit.
Yeah, all the waitresses and stuff. Waitresses. They're not waitresses, whatever.
No,
they are.
They're terrible waitresses.
Yeah, they're really bad. Hey, can I get... Okay, no? Nothing?
I love when I ask for something, they make me feel bad.
More water?
Yeah, but...
What life is based on?
Yes.
How dare you?
In this dehydrated tube.
Let some more water, please.
I got in trouble last time I flew because I had an electronic cigarette. She's like, sir, we can't.
I thought you were allowed, though.
That's what I thought, too. I've done it on flights, and they just walk past me. But, you know, what's any of those fucking bitches?
You just decide, like, you can't do that. Like,
yeah,
why?
Yeah, they just decide things. Because I've flown enough to be like, I know what's allowed and what's not. Yeah. It's just their discretion.
See, here's my problem. People ask me if I hate the waitress, the stewardesses, if I have a problem with them because I really hate the TSA.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, they're just cunts.
Yeah.
But I can just ignore them.
Exactly.
I can just say, hey, fuck you.
Exactly.
I'm still taking my flight. I know what my laws are. I know what I'm allowed to do. You can't just make up new shit and fucking have control over me.
They do.
Legal control over me. Waitresses don't.
They technically, in the air, they do.
If you're being rowdy, they can fucking maybe restrain you, but they have to get like a pilot's. I don't know what the deal is with that, actually.
Actually,
I don't know how rowdy I can get to where.
Riggle was telling me about
it. Rob Riggle?
Yeah, because he was a pilot.
Oh, really?
I think so. I think that's what he did in the Marines.
Yeah? Oh, in the Marines. That's pussy pilots.
Yeah, exactly. He's such a tiny dude. I would love to watch you tell him that. But he was saying that the captain of the pilot of the plane he's in charge. Once you take off, he can do or say whatever he wants.
Like a captain of a boat.
Yeah,
like
they're in charge.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, when he said that, I was like, okay. He's like, that's why sometimes...
But they have to let you go when you're off the flight.
Yeah.
They can't be like, well, we're going to arrest you. And charge you with
they
something.
Can.
They'd have to tell, like, really?
Yeah. It's a weird...
It is weird.
It's like international waters up there.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
I just like to go to sleep and get on my seat and just... Because it's just such a headache. Like, TSA.
Yeah.
What is that check thing? Someone's telling me about that, where you don't
TSA
have...
TSA clear? Yeah, you can go right through if you're a frequent flyer. I tried to get on it. They said rejected.
Why?
Didn't say a reason. I went through with the whole application process online and said, nope.
No, they didn't tell you why.
It's only in some cities, but LA is one of them. And you can just go right through. Don't have to take your shoes off. Don't have to wait in line with everybody. Just like show this card they give you.
Yeah, my great uncle was telling me about it. He was like, I just walk. He was like,
and they're like, we trust you. As if no freaking flyer could get turned by a terrorist.
Yeah.
No, they couldn't get
talked
to.
Oh, he flies a lot. He's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's, if I was a terrorist, that's who I go talk to.
You know what it really is? These freaking flyers give them the most stress. So they're like, oh, let's let them go. When really, they're not protecting us in any way.
No.
It's just fucking, it's just for show. They've never caught a terrorist, ever.
The FBI has, because that's,
yeah, the FBI has.
Because they set them up and give them the stuff and then go arrest them.
FBI?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they've been doing the last 4 or 5 years. Everybody they've caught in a terrorist plot.
They've given them the stuff?
They've given them all the stuff.
Dude, I'm convinced. The shoe bomber, because I talked to a guy. I don't take my shoes off anymore. I have a medical condition.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. Don't take the, but they got
what
pat,
is it? I'm lazy.
They don't ask, but if they ask, I come up with different answers. All sorts of stuff.
Foot herpes.
My friend Brent Weinbach just makes up something in Latin. He just says some Latin words. He says, offuscum caminatus. And they're like, oh, okay.
I can see Brent getting away with that, though.
Yeah.
Because you'd be like, all right. Yeah, you look, well, like.
Brent's got such a problem. He's like a germ freak. And so one day he was like, he put his, those plastic bags they give you, sometimes they give you, to put your toiletries into.
Yeah.
I hate, you know what, too? It's like in Austin, they would like say your name as you're going through. I'm like, why does sometimes I have to say my name and other times not? And somebody's like, just say your name. What's the difference? I'm like, the difference is this person shouldn't legally be allowed to tell me what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
All right, I don't want to go on the rant.
Well, have you been stopped like at the gate? I had that happen to me.
After
like
you already through?
Ago. Yes.
And then what? Where'd they stop you?
The TSA comes and then checks everyone's ID again and their ticket as you're going onto the jet.
Really?
I was like, well, why did I have to do all that?
Why did I have to do that?
Yeah. If you're going to do this again, why do I have to do that?
Yeah. When I told someone sometimes, like, you go through the first one, they have to show them your ticket and your ID. And then you go through and then you can put your ticket away in your pocket. And so you get searched for random searches, like, where are you headed today? And I'm like, I'm not telling you.
Yeah.
And they're like, why? I'm like, because I don't know what the fuck you're going to do with that information.
Yeah. Why? Why?
I 100% don't trust you.
So you don't do the scanners at all then?
No. No.
Is it because of radiation or just the principle?
No, it's because don't tell me what to do. And also, I know the reason for the scanners is because the guy who was the head of the TSA owned the scanner company.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, we're really, very clearly just doing this to get him paid.
Yeah. Well, Coco
said... The safest airport in the world, Israel. Ben-Gurion Airport.
That should be.
Yeah. They will not use those scanners. They say they're too easy to beat. Just put something on your side instead of in your front, and you can get away with anything.
Really?
Put a gun on your side. They won't check it. That's Ben Gurion. But we're using them because the guy who said we have to use these owns the company. It's very clear. It's, well, just a dude getting paid. And because they have badges, we all take it like, we got to trust them.
But if you and I were strictly pure capitalist,
uh-huh,
we'd be like that.
Oh, I get it. It's a great move on that guy's part. It's a great move.
Genius.
It's a great move.
I've found
but
that
all those
the
people
older
who say
I get.
Defending freedom, they're not. They're defending that guy's pocketbook.
Yes. Yeah. Now, the older I get, I've noticed. Like, stuff that really, like, morally bothers me,
uh-huh,
I have a strange respect for, because it's usually pretty smart what they've done away.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's pretty fucking smart.
Oh, yeah.
It's morally deplorable, but...
But solid
beer. As I get older, I'm like, I get it. I bet you've got a nice couple houses.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah,
I'm like,
and
fucking,
I'm in
yeah, gangster
fucking
move,
Quality
man.
In right now.
All yeah. that Cheney stuff with investing in his own...
Yeah.
Like, it's like, yeah, you're an OG.
Smart. Yeah. Smart as hell.
I just don't want you to do it at my expense. That's all.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Anyway, but also, it's like, wait, who's telling me there's no radiation? Oh, the guy who owns it? The guy who sort of put it into play when we didn't need it? Why
yeah.
can't we take water anymore? Acid?
Yeah, I don't understand the water
who's
thing.
Who's taking acid on a plane? Was that ever even a threat? Or are we just making shit up and saying, you got to stick to it?
But if you were thinking about it, like, if you really want to do something, the stuff you could buy after security, you could go in like one of those family bathrooms and probably make something.
Maybe.
Like there's batteries and all kinds of stuff you can buy.
Yeah. I just really hate them.
Yeah.
It's become them against us.
Yeah. And
that's what their mentality is. Like cops with have, you know, criminals. But it's like, we're not the criminals. The terrorists are the ones you're supposed to be against. You're supposed to be on our side.
Yeah.
But you're
mad
us
at
as
us.
The enemy now.
The worst are the little tiny airports.
Uh-huh.
You fly to like Wichita.
Why?
Because like at LaGuardia or LAX or any big city, it's just you just go. Most of them don't give a shit. You're just going in. It's you're just cattle.
Uh huh.
But you go to like Wichita or
the hero.
Tulsa, the tiny airport. They're those Republican meathead, And they're serious. That's the most problems I've ever had were in, like, Wichita, where they just go through everything, or yeah. Tulsa, and they're giving me problems about, well, there's too much water in your... I'm like, oh, it's 4 ounces. I'm like, ah, that looks like 5 ounces. We're going to have to get rid of it. I'm like, no one's coming to bomb Tulsa.
It's, you know what it is? The problem is, it's, yeah, exactly. And two, it's like, this is all based on, like, a bureaucracy that's set up. So bureaucracy, when there's change, really, they just make alterations. They don't change it from the start.
Yeah.
So they'll be like, okay, now 10-year-olds are allowed to have water, but not... And you're like, no, no, no. Rethink the whole system.
Yeah.
It's all fucked.
Well, can't you have a golf club now?
Yeah, now you can. And they're like, oh, how is it safe to have someone with a knife on board? It's like, it's not going to turn the plane into a missile. That's the only thing. We're allowed to have knives on the street here.
Yeah.
Why not there? Like, well, somebody's going to stab somebody. That's a threat at all times.
I've had... But that's how random it is. I used to carry a big knife at certain cities I go in.
Yeah, I got mine through for years. My little Spider Rico knife.
Mine was huge. It was,
and
like,
just never saw it.
Like, one time they saw it, and I think I had to get rid of it because I was
lock
in a hurry.
Lock the cockpit doors, get a metal detector, and a bomb sniffing dog.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah. Coco said he had pot underneath his ball sack on the scanner, and they didn't see it.
Yeah.
Now, his ball sack is way larger than
it's
most.
It's a cover. It's a cover.
Yeah, that's
a nice cover.
Fucking tent. I got to piss.
I am convinced, by the way, when I talked to this Asian guy, was, you got to pee? That's all right. I can pause real easy, too. But you can listen. This Asian guy was filling up my shoes because I wouldn't take them off. And he was patting it down for, like, explosive material, you know?
Yeah.
Doing the thing. I was like, why do you have to do this? And he goes, you know, because some guy got a shoe bomb on. And I was like, yeah, what happened with that? And he goes, yeah, you got a shoe bomb on. But luckily, it was rainy that day, so he stepped in a puddle, so it didn't go off. And I was like, wasn't that guy on a no-fly list already? And he's like, yeah, that's pretty lucky. And I'm like, that sure is lucky. Almost conveniently lucky.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a lot.
So the guy that was on a no-fly list, not only did he get through and he flied, but the one time he tried to get a bomb on, he got it on. A guy on a no-fly list tried one time to get a bomb on and got it on. And the only reason it didn't go off is because we got lucky that he stepped in a puddle.
It was a puddle saved America.
And the FBI knew about this guy ahead of time. His father reported him. The FBI had tabs on him.
Well, didn't the Boston guy, they had tabs on the older brother.
Yeah, but that was like, we know they're up to something. This is a no-fly list. This guy is a known... terrorist. We're not putting him in. He got through with the bomb. Here's what I think happened.
And he looked like a terrorist.
Yeah. Here's what I think happened. I think they knew about him. They gave him a faulty bomb.
Yeah.
So, like, you're gonna use it. You're gonna set it off. It's all it's gonna do is put a little fire up there. It just hissed and put a little bit of fire.
Yeah.
That's it. It wouldn't go off. They knew that now we can get more control. I'm almost positive that's what they did.
I agree. I think about stuff. Yeah.
That's too lucky. Too many lucky things in a row.
Yeah.
If it was some new guy who got a bomb on. And it didn't go off. Okay, fine. This is a guy who's in contact with the people who know how to make bombs.
But yeah,
nobody told him, don't walk through puddles.
I totally agree.
Because it'll work, but just so-so.
Because for 9/11 to happen like it did,
yeah,
that's a lot of stuff going really fucking right.
Yeah.
And then that guy steps in a puddle and it's all fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they gave him a faulty bomb so that they could say, see, shit's still bad out there.
Uh-huh. Oh, the underwear dude.
Yeah, what happened with him? Why didn't it go off?
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
I don't know either, but I just know all of a sudden
we can't walk
around as freely as we could before.
That's all I thought about when I heard that. I was like, the airport's going to be a bigger nightmare now.
So I thought about Boston. Here's the problem.
Oh, because like sporting events and shit.
Well, yeah, they're going to start doing it
now
anyway.
They're on trains.
Yeah, they're on trains.
I don't like that.
When people say, too, they're like, if you don't like it, don't fly. I'm like, so also a cop can just pull you out of your car at any time and search your entire car, and you can say, if you don't like it, don't drive?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, if you don't like it, don't fly? No. How about have a discussion about what's wrong with flying?
Yeah.
And fix it.
Fix it.
You're just supposed to say, if you don't like it, stop? Speaking of broken things.
You want to talk about my marriage?
Yeah.
Or my first marriage, let's put it that way.
You got married again?
No. Oh. God, no.
Well, all right, you got divorced. I want to talk about divorce for somebody who's been through. I asked you to do this a year ago, and you're like, too early.
I was not. Well, it wasn't. Well, probably. Yeah, I wasn't probably ready to talk about it. And then legally.
I thought legally.
Mostly. Like, it was mostly legally. And then as I, you know, as time goes by, you're like, that's probably best.
Yeah.
Because I was looking through old notebooks. And about when it first happened.
Yeah.
And just stuff I was writing. And I knew not to do it on stage yet.
Why?
Because it was just mean.
Too angry.
And then, like, I've looked at it now, and I was like, God, I'm glad I was present enough of mind to be like, don't do that, because it would have just spewed
hate. When I was, like, 4 or 5 years in a comedy, I started trying to do Israeli-Palestinian jokes.
Yeah.
And it was like, I lived in Israel for a few years.
You almost got blown up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad I brought that up.
What? It's all right. But
you just paused and
yeah,
well, had a sorry, vacant
I
look.
I forgot about it for a while. I never think about it much. But
yeah. We're going to open wounds for everybody today.
Fresh. but I started talking about it and be like, you know, I'd have like a joke or two. It's like, ha, punchline. Okay, ha, another punchline. And these fucking animals. The fucking, and it would just come out as hate speech.
Just,
I didn't know how to do it right.
Yeah, when some of those rant guys I'm impressed with.
Yeah, how to keep it funny and still be angry.
Yes.
Because some of them can't do it. They just get angry.
Yeah, you see that a lot. Especially that first 4 or 5 years. You see them and you're like, hey, why?
When you drop in N-bombs as like, nobody tells me what to say. It's like, the way you're doing it makes everyone in the room uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You're not too edgy. You're just not doing it in
it's
a funny
not,
way.
It's not edgy.
So if you just say nigger, that makes people feel weird. And that's all you're doing because you have
like
no
you
jokes.
You saying that right then, I was
made
just
you
like,
feel weird.
Yeah, because it's
a hotel room.
Two white guys in a hotel room, and I was like, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
Easy.
There might be one passing by the door.
Just in case.
Yeah, and these guys are just throwing them out there.
Yeah.
Do these vaporizer things work better on like moist weed or dry weed, or does it matter?
Dry weed, it burns quicker, but it hits harder.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Right. We'll switch
and when it's wet, you got to move it around more.
Oh,
I've noticed.
Get more surface area. Yeah. So you weren't able to talk about it right away. What are you looking
for? Well, I was looking for cigarettes.
Can you smoke in here?
Sure.
Are you allowed to smoke in here?
I think so.
Cigarettes?
I did.
Window open?
Yeah, we did that. Where do you not? Yeah, let's do that.
I always smoke in hotel rooms.
Yeah, always.
Not cigarettes. Cigarettes, when I smoked, I used to go to the bathroom and run the hot water.
That's exactly what I do.
So the steam would get taken care of.
And, like, that's if I'm like on a up high and I don't want to walk outside. Like if I'm on like a lower floor, I'll just walk outside.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or if it's nice out, if you're in Texas and like May, you're like, yeah, I'll go outside. But also if it's late and you don't want to, or if you got a girl up in your room. And they're like, can I smoke here? Fuck yes,
fuck
you can.
Fuck yes. You can do everything you want in here. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that... Women don't have the same rules as we do.
No, they really don't.
It must be fun. And they
this,
know
this
it,
also
too.
Segues back to what we're talking about.
Yes, it is.
So how long did that anger last? Where you could, like... Can you talk about it on stage now?
Yeah. Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, the anger... Because it wasn't...
I mean, are you comedically able to talk about it on stage? Not are you legally allowed?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm so over the marriage and the whole thing now that it's like I do have some jokes about it.
Yeah,
but I don't want to be that divorce.
Yeah, that's how I feel about people that get kids, and suddenly it's like every one of those people has a joke about something cute their kid did, and I'm like, this is just every joke I've ever heard. Yeah, your kid did something cute.
Yeah,
you relaying it, that ain't a joke.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah, that's cute, I guess. That's what kids are. Where's your fucking joke?
I've done that twice where he's done something.
Oh,
that
you
I
have
was
kids,
really,
too. I forgot
I have
about
one,
that.
Yeah. I've done that like once or twice, and it's usually just that night. I'll tell that story.
Right away is different.
And I'll tell that story, like, you know, I'll be on the road somewhere and be like, okay, I'll tell that's. And then after I get off, there is that, I feel gross a little bit.
You should.
I'm like, that's not.
You should. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
And that night, it's okay. Like, something just happened to you. That's different.
It's kind of funny.
Riffing shit is okay.
Yeah. And then you realize, like, there's no legs on that. Now I'm just that. Yeah. Yeah, there's no. Yeah, I feel gross when I do that because it's Facebook.
Fitzsimmons did my storyteller show in Moon Tower in Austin.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. There's no industry there. There's none.
And you get paid.
You get paid.
So it's like Bridgetown, but you get paid.
It's like Bridgetown, but you get paid, and you get flown out, and you get a hotel room.
Oh.
Yeah. So now they pay. First of all, just flown out and hotel room is enough for most people.
At a festival. Like,
yeah, the lower level people. Not the high level people. They're like, look, I can't.
But
the people that would
money,
do Bridgetown would do that for a lot more, for just pay for the room and the flight.
Yeah.
Now, I get that a lot of them don't have money, and Bridgetown's not a moneymaker or whatever. But, yeah, it makes it a lot better. And just maybe like a $50 per diem. That's all you would have to give people. $200 for the 4 days they're there.
Yeah, I could...
come down and get a per diem. Now you can eat.
$50?
Oh, it's so much.
Yeah.
I love doing commercials just for that. When they give
in
you a per
Austin,
diem.
$50?
Would go for the whole night. You can drink on it, too.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah. You could have like this, have fun while you're here. Here's $50.
And you could live like a king. That'd be like going to Costa Rica with like a $5 bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So you're always here. I wonder about those places. Yeah, it was fun. But Fitzsimmons passed me. He was the last one on, and then he finished. He was like, it was all fight stories.
Yeah.
And so he goes, I don't know, maybe I'll just do like 10 minutes. I'm like, do as long as you want. He goes, I probably only have 10 minutes worth. I'm like, we'll see. And he did like 25.
He's so funny.
He was the last one on. He's so funny.
He's so funny.
And I'm like, he has tons of fights. He started doing this one.
Well, he's from Boston, too. Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
And he's a little scrappy do guy.
Yeah, he is a tiny.
Fucking
yeah.
Show.
He is.
But he was on like minute 15 or 16 already, and he started a story with like, okay, I was driving, this next story, he just did a bunch of short ones. He goes, I was driving my 3-year-old to nursery school, and I just started laughing because I was in the audience watching. And he goes, oh, what, you've heard this one before? I'm like, no, pots ruined my memory. I don't remember anything. But just the fact that you're starting a fight story with, I was driving my 3-year-old to nursery school. How does that result in a fight?
Yes.
You fucking animal.
You don't have kids.
No, I don't have kids. I pull out or pay for abortions. But he passed me right afterwards. I'm like, hey, thanks, man. And he just he walks on the side away from the crowd. You know, you shake somebody's hand. And he walks. He goes, thanks, faggot. As I was like, Greg Fitzsimmons. I just started laughing because I registered what he said. Real soft.
Thanks, faggot.
But like, I'll say that on stage right afterwards. I'll tell him what he said.
Yeah.
But like, I can't use that again.
No, you can't.
No.
No. And you want to because it's such a funny moment.
In the moment.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll allow those kids things if it happened to you that day. That's your first time on stage since.
That's like hearing somebody tell a story and they're so excited about it and then it's just terrible. And they're like, well, it's that you had to be there. And you want to enjoy it with them, but you're like, I don't get it.
I don't know.
I don't know why.
They're
you
missing
feel that
details
way.
Probably yeah. Of like who that person was. That's a really conservative person.
Yes.
They just say, oh, and then Jimmy, but like we have to know Jimmy's backstory.
Yeah. We have to know that Jimmy
is a real churchgoer.
Yes.
Otherwise that gets lost.
Yes, and then they caught him with a dude.
Yeah.
It's always something weird. So yeah, the divorce. Yeah, I don't talk about it that much on stage. I was on probation for 2 years.
Why probation?
Because I got arrested.
For what?
She accused me of doing something.
Now, hold on. I will just tell you this before we get into it.
Okay.
The thing that works best on this podcast is open honesty.
I know. I'm just...
Two, that's a fact. So if you're wondering, like, what should I share? That's just one. Two, I don't judge anybody.
Oh, I'm not
whatever
about
they did in breakups.
I'm not,
regular thinking.
I am not worried about the judgment part from my peers or people that don't have power.
Okay,
I'm worried about the judgment from people that have judge in front of their name.
Oh, judge. Yeah. A judge.
Yeah.
Well, what'd you do?
Whose job is to judge.
You already did the probation for it, right? You can't get no problems anymore.
Yeah, that was like a continuance, so it just goes away. I never admitted guilt or anything like
What'd she say you did? What did you do?
I didn't do it. She said I shoved a pea-soaked pajama pants in her face.
Pea-soaked pajama pants?
Uh-huh.
You get probation for that?
I got arrested.
That's regular fighting shit.
Well,
no way.
When she calls the cops, I was asleep.
That's not even stuff to break up over. That's just fucking...
We were separated at that point.
I know, but... So, did you go over to her house to shove a pea...
No, we were living in the same... Just separate bedrooms because we have our son.
Oh, yeah.
So, which is not a... ideal situation.
That's the worst. Forget the sun, but worst thing about breakups when you live with somebody is that month until somebody finds a new place.
It's horrific.
And did she start dating during that time?
I don't think so.
Okay, that's good.
I mean, after I got arrested, we weren't allowed. Like, that was the best part of it, getting arrested. They put a no contact. They're like, you cannot contact her. I was like, oh, that's legally. Perfect. That's great. That's great. So I don't have to now. I don't have to talk to her. But then, yeah, I think she was like on an OkCupid and stuff, and she started going out and doing more stand-up after all that happened.
She was doing it before, though, wasn't she?
A little bit, but then she had stopped.
Yeah.
And she was just doing that morning show. And then the whole thing.
Here's something that everyone does after they break up. They start viewing anything they do as judged through, you're doing this through a filter of me.
Yeah.
I remember I broke up with somebody, and I love South Park. Love it. And I saw they wrote like a post later of like, oh, what a good South Park episode. And it's like, you only got into South Park because of me.
Yes.
And it's like, you want to take credit for it, but you're like, it's a show that millions of people watch.
And is fantastic.
Yeah. You introduced her to it. Now she likes it. What, she going to stop watching it?
But I do that in, not even in breakups.
What do you,
like
what?
With like friends and stuff. Oh, really? Stuff. Like,
you only like sunglasses because I told you that they protect your eyes.
Yeah, you get somebody into something.
Yeah.
Like Ralphie's on Squidbillies now.
I love Squidbillies.
He didn't know about that show till I told him about it. And now, like, he's a big fan. And, like, it's so petty. There's sometimes, like, you didn't even know about that show.
I know, but then.
And now he's fucking on it.
But what are they supposed to. You showed him to him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wanted him to see it. Yeah.
It's like if you. Okay, if you get into a book when you're in fourth grade, that's okay. But if you get into it when you're 27, you're like. Then you constantly have to give up props to the guy who recommended it to you.
Exactly.
At what point did you just be like, I like this? When can you do that?
It's like, yeah, us liking basketball and Naismith's just like, hey,
you only
it's because of me.
Like, okay.
Okay. I mean, I guess thanks, but I don't think you saw what we're watching. Coming. Yeah.
I think his grave is at Arlington National Cemetery.
Is it really?
Either him or Andrew Doubleday, the baseball inventor.
Abner.
Abner Doubleday, yeah. Maybe possibly both. Arlington had a bunch of like rows and stuff. You threw your cigarette. Where'd it go? Right onto the fucking toilet paper? Definitely did not get in the toilet.
Nope.
The look on your face like, eep.
Sorry, Naismith.
You gotta change that. Oh, yeah. As we're talking about a basketball great.
I mean, I'm not bitter. I think I was bitter about the failure of the marriage more than the relationship. Because the relationship was not healthy.
How long were you with her?
Before I got married, 8 months.
8 months. Then you got married. And how long were you married for?
I think legally like 3.5 years. A little over 3 years.
Okay. When did you get separated?
Probably about 3 years.
3 years. So this is almost 4 years into the relationship.
Yeah.
So when you're like, enough. 3 years and 8 months.
No,
like,
probably sooner than that.
So maybe 3 years.
When I started thinking about something's wrong.
Yeah.
But you don't know. I was so young. I was like 26 when I got married. I met her at 25, turned 26.
Yeah.
I was married in April. We got married on tax day in Las Vegas.
Really?
It's just dumb.
Why is it dumb to get married on tax day?
I don't know. That's it just worked out.
Yeah.
But there were.
It's a romantic idea, marriage. It's a romantic idea. Like, we're going to live together forever in beauty and harmony.
Well, like, my parents are still married.
I know, but. Yeah, sure. Mine are too.
But I also look at relationships. Like, my parents have a special relationship.
What does that mean?
Like, they still get along. They love. Yeah. They still love each other.
Those
and like
are pretty
each other.
Rare, aren't they?
That's the thing. That's why I'm calling it, like, special.
Yeah.
Because you don't see that a lot.
It's like doubling down on blackjack before you even get a card.
Yeah.
You're like, this could be good, but it'll likely lose me money.
This could be the best thing, but odds are it's going to be the worst thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that I'm not saying I'll never get married again, because I like the idea of that.
What do you like about the idea?
I think it's romantic.
It's romantic.
I think deep down I'm a fucking
romantic
person.
Yeah, I am too. People have problems. Like, you're not a romantic person. I'm like, oh, I would love to believe in that shit. When I see a movie, I cry almost every movie.
That's my, it's not a secret anymore, but like my guilty pleasure is fucking romantic comedies.
Really?
If I'm on the road and kind of lonely, I'll watch one.
Comedies, yeah.
Like, even, I love You've Got Mail. I think that movie's fantastic.
I love You've Got Mail? Oh, You've Got Mail, yeah.
I love that movie.
Uh-huh.
It makes me happy.
Yeah, When Harry Met Sally, I remember that one.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Even the shitty ones, sometimes.
When Harry Met Sally was good, too. You know why? I'm remembering this now. Because he comes running in to meet her on New Year's Eve. And he's running down the street at fucking 11:15. I'm going to find her. But New York's a big city.
Yes, it is.
And he's running through. And then he gets to the door, midnight. He's not up there in time. Because you expect him to get up there and be like, you know,
yeah.
2-1, and then they kiss and it'll be over. And it's like, that's too convenient. Let's get a more realistic situation. And they got that a little.
But Annie Hall's kind of realistic.
Annie Hall's a good one.
That's a great one.
Doesn't work out for them, does it?
No, it doesn't. But I don't think a lot of things work out with that neuroses he's got.
Oh, yeah. He won't work out.
Yeah.
How'd it work out this marriage? not the one to his adopted child, but the one before who adopted the child with him. Yeah, didn't work out.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
Yeah.
I think if you raise your wife, it'll probably work out.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, it's like training a dog.
You think that's what he was thinking? Like, that's pretty smart. I mean, he's a logical person.
He's
like
a logical person.
He's very logical.
Maybe.
That he probably just, like, in the middle of it was like, this is the way to do it.
How come nobody talks about that? It's one of the creepiest things I've ever
heard
of. Because
he's so prolific. Like, I think he's got to make a movie every couple of years, so.
Or it'll keep that bubble back up.
Yeah, people will be like, what's he doing now?
I have a theory that people forgive behavior from celebrities as just like, oh, it's interesting, it's weird. But, like, no. If not for celebrity, that would be a, like, Flavor Flav. He was always as crazy as he is now.
Yeah.
But because he was making music that were hits, people were like, yay, he's got a clock around his neck.
It's George
like,
Jones.
Yeah.
If George Jones couldn't sing and write like he could, he would just be the stereotypical drunk
yeah.
white trash husband.
Yeah.
Like, people would be shitting on his grave right now.
Yeah.
But
because he could. Because
he could sing and write. We'll
just forget about that stuff. Michael Jackson's a great example.
Yeah.
That's someone who has to go door to door.
My aunt.
If he's not a celebrity.
My aunt told me this the other night.
He raped her?
No, she's a lesbian. That would be a fantastic story.
Yeah.
Her point of view on, she said, with Michael Jackson, I always thought, he's weird enough to me that he didn't do it.
Because he's so weird?
Because he's so weird. Which I thought was an interesting, I never thought of it like that. I was like, he is.
I go by this theory, not where there's smoke, there's fire, but where there's a lot of smoke.
Yeah.
There's fire.
And come.
Yeah.
And kid come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like there's been how many allegations? And then Jim Painter did the best joke about it. Remember Jim Painter? You weren't around then.
No, I don't think so.
He goes, guys, there's a reason we buy expensive cars and have nice clothes. Because normally we don't care about clothes and fashion.
Mm-mm.
It's really to get laid.
Yeah.
It's to impress women. That's what we
Chappelle
do a lot of
about
stuff.
That. If we could live in if they liked cardboard boxes,
we'd live in a box. Yeah, who talks about that? Bill Hicks?
Chappelle,
yeah. Yeah. And so, because you see these people having these bachelor pads in New York, these grant, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, they live their lives, so they get, and it's like, well, what did Michael Jackson have at his house? A Ferris wheel.
And a zoo.
Yeah. Like, that's why guys get shit. They're like, no, he's still a child. What are you talking about?
Yes.
He's in his 40s. What are you talking about? I'm a child.
That is a good point. That's the point.
It's so clearly, and then also, the allegations.
Yes. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, back to my, yeah.
Yeah. So you stayed with it for a while. It started to break up.
Oh, it was, yeah. I mean, it was.
What did you do? Why, when she said you shoved, that's so specific. When she said you shoved pee-soaked pajamas in her face.
Yeah, I was, very specific that allegation. Night, the night before. I was in the Seattle Comedy Competition. It was mm-hmm. the first week.
Competition.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
I know.
And I got back. We had talked about it. I was like, hey, can you get up at 6:30 in the morning?
Who said what?
I said that to her because I'm going to get back late, and I'll get up at 9:30 and go back to sleep because he always got up at like 6:30.
Who?
My son.
Oh, okay.
And she was like, yeah. And 6:30 comes, and I'd had some drinks the night before. I wasn't drunk. You know what I mean? I was just still just kind of like tired. I had some wine just to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And 6:30 comes, she starts screaming. He starts yelling. And I was like, hey, you said you should say. And she just screamed, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, I'll take care of him. You know, whatever. I'm up. Just go back to sleep. She said, my back hurts or something. She's like screaming at me. I was like, okay. So then, like, he's crying because he peed all over himself, so I'm changing his stuff. And I throw his soaked pajama pants in the...
her face?
In the hamper.
Okay.
And she's standing there telling me how
I'm
doing.
So she didn't get up?
No, then she gets up and tells me what I'm doing wrong, how I'm doing it wrong. I'm like, hey, you can't have it both ways. I yelled, you know, because at that point I was just pissed. I yelled at her. I was like, you can't have it, but...
I'm up.
Yeah, you can't... Yeah, go back to sleep.
Quit nagging me, yeah.
And I threw the things in the hamper.
Yeah.
And so she goes back to sleep, and then he's just kind of like, he's teething at the time, so he's just, eh. And he wants his mom. And she was like, okay, I'll stay up. Why don't you just go back to sleep? I was like, okay. And we'd argued, just screamed at each other.
It's tough to sleep after an argument.
Yeah. But I was just like, I just wanted to sleep.
Yeah.
And I wake up 45 minutes later. There's three cops in the room I was in. Like, I had to put, like, pajama pants on and a t-shirt.
You woke up when they were there?
Yeah. They woke me up. Like, I've been laying on this bed right here we're on, and they just come in the door.
What?
Three of them. And I was like, what the? And they're like, would you like to make a statement? And I was like, about what?
Like, four score, said,
blah,
seven
blah,
years.
Blah. You know, do you want to make a statement? And I was like, and the guy's, like, reaching for his handcuffs. And I was like, well, am I under arrest? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, then I'm not saying a word. Because I'm not real sure what's happening.
Yeah, I just woke up.
Yeah. And then they kind of put, like, they gave me flip-flops.
They don't give you time to put some shit on?
No, I didn't have my phone, my wallet, anything. They just take me out.
Why don't they be
in
like,
the neighborhood.
Get dressed. We're not animals. Fucking get you. We'll stay and watch you. Fucking put some clothes on.
The two don't dudes shower. In the back were cool. The guy that arrested me was kind of a dick.
Because he thought you would beat your wife.
Yeah, and I understand. And the guy that I was in the car with, I was like, hey... So they can just say in anything.
And then you'll be arrested.
And he was like, yeah. I was like...
Wait, but you get arrested for putting pee-soaked...
Yeah, I didn't know that I was accused of that.
Even if you did that, that's an arrestable offense?
Uh-huh. It's for... It was...
If she says he didn't do it with a funny face on, because if you like, let's say your son's like pissed in it,
and I was just like,
you dropped
it
in her face as she's sleeping, like, reawakening,
yeah.
You know,
that's it. Yeah,
she couldn't press charges. Like, we have this prank game we do.
Yeah,
but if she's like, he's doing that maliciously, then you could be arrested for that.
Yeah,
if it was a stranger, I could see it.
Yeah,
jeez.
So I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
Not
even like a fine.
It's, what was the charge was like, domestic violence, some kind of...
Anti-capitalism protest turns violent in Seattle. It's starting.
No, they do that all the time in Seattle.
It's starting.
They do that all the time in
Seattle. The revolution is coming, Billy Wayne.
About once a year, they have some weird protest in Seattle.
And it gets violent?
Yeah. And it's always about some... I lived there for 6 years.
Who are they violent against? Against the cops that are there pushing them down?
But it's always something, some different cause. But it's kind of the same people. It's these anarchists and stuff.
Yeah.
They live out in the woods. And like Oregon, they all breed that kind of...
Oh, that's what I was saying before. I don't want to miss this point, but we'll get back to it. The Boston thing?
Yeah.
I was like, because of what they did with the shoe bomber and with all these other people, until I hear from one of these guys, I'm going to have suspicions.
Well, didn't they say?
We were involved.
Didn't they say when they were about to shoot that one dude, he kept saying, "We didn't do it. We didn't do it."
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Like,
I may have read that on InfoWars.
Like, you gotta have. I don't know. It's like you gotta be. I'm sure the cops like good justice. I'm like, not justice. We have a justice system.
Yes.
Where no one gets off on that story of like, oh, he got off on a technicality. That's fucking comic book shit. Let's just go through the justice system we have set up. And we'll decide.
That's not true. I got off on a DUI.
On what?
I can say this because I've already went to trial. There's no fucking...
The cop didn't show?
No, I... I didn't do the field sobriety test. I knew enough to do that.
Yeah.
You never do that.
Never do it. Wait, let a blood test. You buy yourself an hour.
Yeah. Well, and all the field test is evidence against you. It can't get you off.
Oh, really?
All they can use it is evidence against you. So I get arrested. I am drunk. I blew a .16 twice at the station.
A .16?
Yeah, twice.
Twice the legal limit.
Yeah, I was...
Tanked.
But at the time, I was a really good drinker, so I wasn't...
Good tolerance.
I was functioning pretty well.
Mike Burns says. tolerance should be involved in the test.
Stanhope said we should... That's how they should get the driving test, is you keep drinking, and then when you fuck up...
That's your line.
That's your
like
line.
Like an eye test.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I think it's a good fucking rule.
Yeah.
So I go, the guy takes me home, but there was some weird thing with the state lab with that breathalyzer, so it was inadmissible. So I was just going to plead down, but this prosecutor was a new young dude trying to prove himself, and he's like, no, I'm going to take you to trial. And me and my lawyer are like, you have nothing. It is that guy saying I'm drunk, and then me saying like...
Really?
And so I had a jury and everything. By the way, that's fucking terrifying. Because you go through these hearings, there's people everywhere. The day you go in the courtroom, you're like, oh, this is reserved just for me today.
Oh, yeah.
And then the jury comes in. You have to select a jury, and they're just eyeballing you. And then so the cop shows up, and it's not guilty because they had no evidence against me.
They had nothing?
Nothing. Like, he had no reason to pull me over, anything.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, cops just can't shoot people because they think someone's guilty.
Yeah, that's true.
Of a capital
crime.
I mean,
that cop was right. I was drunk.
Right. Yeah. But he can't just fucking put you in jail for it. He can't just enforce the laws of what they should have been. It's not up to him.
No, he's...
I want one of these Boston guys to talk.
Yeah.
I just want him to talk. When they don't talk, you leave me questions.
I don't... Yeah, there's...
Who else is involved? Who trained you? How did you get here? What was your point?
Yeah.
What was your cause here?
And why did they shoot the old one that was in charge, and then this kid evidently was just doing whatever his big brother said?
Yeah. I was like, when they arrested him, like, they better... Or before, when he was still on the lam, I was like, they better catch one of these guys alive. And they still haven't let him talk, but I want to hear what he has to say. Open. Let's be open about this shit.
Well, his parents say they set him up.
Who set him up? His parents set him up?
The FBI. They said the government were like, which is real. Have you seen those? Because they're very passionate about it.
The parents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
CIA, everybody set him up.
The problem is, too, like, all the information we're getting is just from the news sources that are, like, being fed information by the FBI. Like, here's the thing we have. And it's like, well.
That's why I like to go to InfoWars to get the real news.
Yeah. I saw Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm thinking of putting Al Jazeera as my homepage. It's the only non-biased news source I think I can find anymore.
That RT.
What's RT? Russian Times or something?
Yeah. It's pretty.
It's like, if they agree with all the American sources, then I'll trust it. But if they like, it was something else, I'm like, then it lets me think about it.
That's what I like about RT, is that they RT. Just say, it's that green thing. It's Russia something. It's like Abby Martin's on there. She's got a great show. It's interesting because they say, like, what the world would think when we do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They report it like the world, like, because we do some fucked up things.
Yeah.
And it's not all, like, our news. It's just like, oh, we had to do this for America.
This guy yelled out at Burr's show and at the Paramount really Austin. Stopped it in Austin. Yeah. Really stopped the show. He was talking about some unrelated. And this guy goes, those people in Boston were on a list. He's talking about, like, he doesn't like to run or something. It was something, like, barely related. And he was like, what? You stopped the show for that? Like, what are you? It was completely through him. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And he goes, how do you know they were on a list? How do you know?
No shit.
Like, how do you know any of it? They were on a list. What does that mean?
I'm on a bunch of lists.
Yeah, I'm on a list.
I'm on a lot of lists.
Top 10 comics, not the book. If they're high, that's what I'm on that list. People are most likely to forget their punchlines.
Are you having that problem?
What?
Forgetting your punchlines?
Oh, if I get too high, yeah, absolutely. If I haven't done a bit in a while.
Oh, okay. You panic on stage?
No, I don't panic, but I'm just like, wait, how did that go? I'm at ease with it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, guys, there's more to this bit, but I don't remember it. Let's move on to the next bit.
I have a problem if I get too high and I do multiple shows in a night.
Remembering?
I'll forget if I told that this set.
Do you go out of order and stuff?
Yeah, cause I never do the same order.
Yeah, me too. I try to keep it fresh that way.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes a few jokes in a row will be the same order, but I really try to, like,
bits I'll put, that flow, but never the same
I'll
spot.
Open with the same thing for, like, five shows in a row, but then I'm like, let me open with something different.
So
it makes me, and then you're like, oh, wait. As you're finishing up one joke, you're like, have I done this joke about eggs yet?
Yes.
Fuck.
And it fucks up your rhythm a little, but it makes you a better comic, I think, when you do that.
Frontier Airlines to charge $1.99 for in-flight coffee, soda, and juice. Not water, though. They have to give you water. Frontier. Well, that's Frontier.
That's the one out of Denver, right?
I don't know.
Are you going to edit any of this?
No, none of it.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, I don't bother with that. It's way too much work. For what? It's a nice conversation. So you're in jail, sitting there.
I can't get out.
Overnight?
Can't get out.
Okay.
Like, if you're arrested for domestic violence, you cannot get out for 24 hours.
How are you going to beat that bitch then?
Well, it's pretty smart, because I was pretty hot. And I was like, the next day, you're just like, oh, That's probably for my own good.
Yeah.
Because I was pretty mad.
To take you down, release you 20 minutes later.
Yeah, and be like, fucking, I'm going right back.
Drop you off, say, hey, we're leaving, so say hi to your wife for us. We'll not be around this neighborhood.
Yes. Yeah. We think she made it up, too, so we'll see you in about 45 minutes for mm-hmm. real. Yeah. But I was also in that competition.
So you had to get back to work.
Well, I couldn't get out.
In time for it.
No, because it was a Sunday. It was the last night of the first round. I was in a position where I could have skipped one night, so I still got through.
Okay.
But no one knew where I was at.
Yeah.
This is also very telling. The first two people she called after I got arrested were my best friend, who's a comic, and then the producer of the comedy competition.
Called for what?
Tell them that I just got arrested.
So they knew where you were going to be?
Yeah.
When you didn't
but that
show.
Was the first two people she called. She didn't call any of her family or anything like that. Those two people.
She called them and told them what, to tell on you or to like let
yeah.
them know?
Yeah.
To tell on you?
Yeah.
Just, you know, Billy Wayne got... Dude, when people break up...
It was just vengeful.
Divorce, too. It's like, why are you telling me this stuff?
Yeah.
I don't care. You're going out of your way to tell me. I'm not going to side with you. I'm still friends with my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You want me to hate them for you, but it ain't going
to
happen.
The people I like to hang out with the most were the people that hung out with both of us still.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they still want dirt. But I just didn't. I just clammed up for about 2 years.
What do you mean, clammed up?
I didn't talk about it. Except for like two or three people. Like, she would be on Facebook saying stuff about it and all that stuff. Making it very public. I mean, I just went dark. I was like, people would ask me about it, and she'd make accusations. You know, they went, well, are you going to say something back? And I was like, no. Nah. It's none of your business.
Oh, yeah. Some people love getting public.
Mm-hmm. All right, I didn't understand that.
Just who people are, I guess. So does this light up?
It's supposed to.
How long do you have to hold it for? So it burns in the bottom, kind of, right?
Yeah, it burns from the bottom and goes up.
The top part isn't burning at all. Anyway.
About that in Raleigh.
Charlie Goodnight's?
Not at Charlie. Yeah, that's where I was playing. And the
yeah,
guy.
I like that room. Such a cool like setup for a room.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it's like, this is a badass like room. This looks, this has some soul to it.
Yeah.
I try to explain that to my agent. That it's like, improvs are just halls. There's some that are cool. DC is cool. It's set up well.
Yeah.
Addison.
Addison's great.
Yeah. Those are, but most of them just look exactly the same, you know, or
and they're
bigger
too
or smaller.
Big.
But yeah, I'm like, this looks great when it's empty and the lights are on, but it's got no soul.
No, none. And then the joke, like, all the laughter just goes to the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't come out. Like, if the downtown.
They're not set up well for comedy.
Chicago, Zanies.
Oh, that's. Oh, Zanies, yeah.
That one is amazing.
The Schaumburg Improv in Chicago.
That's
horrible.
A gymnasium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Yeah.
Even if it's full, even if Bruce goes there and fucking sells it out.
Yeah, I played it, sold out. It's still too big.
It's still too big. Too much room between the
and
chairs.
And it's not like a theater where it's set up.
Set up right for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't know. They just don't know. Anyway, I'm going to get sidetracked.
I agree.
So you didn't want to talk about any of that.
I didn't talk
when
about
it. When
people
ask you about it, like your best friend and stuff, what would you tell them?
I'll talk to them.
Not about the arrest, but just about the divorce in general.
Just, well, that, a lot of those people knew it was coming.
Yeah. She's also, she's got that kind of fiery Latin part of her.
She'd called the cops on me several times during our relationship. Mostly when she was losing an argument.
She ever throw shit at you?
Oh, yeah.
Like stuff that would have hurt you if it hit you in the head?
Yeah.
Not like teddy bears, where it's like, that might have poked an eye out, but like a stapler.
Yeah, like, dude, like heavy things. Fucking, yeah. Where your reaction is to catch it, and then you're like, no shit. No, I'm not going to catch that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get out of the way.
My brother threw one of those heavy like metal staplers at me when we were little. We were in a fight. We were yelling. And he tried to hit me with one of his trophies, and he hit something I was holding. And it broke the arm off, and he got even madder. And then he threw the stapler at me, chucked it from across the room. I ducked it like fucking George Bush with a shoe. And then we saw it fucking made a fucking hole in the wall behind me. We both looked at each other like, oh, that went too far.
That was.
We both realized like
that would have been my face.
Yeah, dude. Like, we got lucky on that. Let's.
He wasn't even worried about you. He was like, I would have been in so much trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. So wait, what was that? Where did I just leave off?
Oh, she was fiery in Latin.
Oh yeah,
yeah, she still is. I'm for sure.
So some people out there like fighting.
Yeah, I mean, and I wasn't like a perfect husband either. I'm sure I was difficult.
Way?
like, you know, I was a stand-up comic. I was gone a lot.
Yeah.
I drank a lot. And when I drank, like, I'm 58 days sober now.
Why? For AA? Just because you wanted to stop?
I wanted to stop.
Okay.
It was time to stop. I had too much fun.
Yeah.
My problem wasn't that I would, like, need to drink every day. This is when I did drink.
It would do bad stuff to you.
I would drink a lot, yeah, and I'd turn into kind of a different person. Hide it. Yeah.
Yeah, Attell stopped drinking. And everybody's like, why? Attell always drank. Like, yes, Attell is no longer 26.
Yeah.
Your body can't process it as well.
That was another thing. When I did go out and get drunk, hangovers would last like 2 days.
Oh, really?
And you're just like, I can't get anything done.
Yeah, I've almost all switched to weed. Once in a long while I'll drink, but
like, I don't care. And like the first month was weird because you learn that sometimes you're like, oh, this was how I was handling stuff.
Oh.
This would be my how I would release stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a month, I don't even think about it. And the clarity is amazing.
Being clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. I don't smoke pot as much anymore.
That, I'm sure, will help you get even more clear.
Yeah, because sometimes I was getting paranoid, which I'd never had before. And at first, you don't realize it. You just think, okay, some people are out to get me.
Yeah. And then you realize, oh, wait, there's every time when I smoke.
Yes. Like, yeah. And I was like, okay, I've got to. But that, I like being in Los Angeles. Because,
why are we here?
Well, the sativa and the indica, you learn
what can do what for you.
Yeah, like it's, I don't care weed for any indica at all.
Yeah, I want to tell people, but I don't want to belittle them when they're like, oh, I don't like weed, it makes me do this or it makes me too. And I want to be like, I'm not trying to, but do you know about the different types of strains?
Yeah.
And then even in those different types of strains, there's multi, they'll do different shit to you.
Yeah,
that way too. Blue Dreams is sativa, puts me to sleep.
Yeah.
My Wowie will get me going.
I love that Jack Herrera. Yes. Because I could do that and have a cup of coffee, and I was just...
Yeah, Jack Herrera never gets me high.
I was just on point.
Yeah.
I like the head change it gave me.
Yeah, it does different stuff for different people, too. You got to find out what works for you. That's the kind of black chick I want to bone. Lisa something. She's a lawyer on Fox News right now. She's like the light-skinned, the ponytail black chick, the type. She looks like the type I want.
But you can only see her from the tits.
But now, obviously,
up.
This white girl who's talking, Rebecca Rose, I want to fuck much more. She's white. I don't know what she'd look like waking up in the morning. I just recently got into black chicks.
Recently?
Recently.
Like you'd never been with a black chick?
A few months. Never been with one.
How old are you?
39. I won't even be in the same room as one of them.
Well, I knew that.
No, I 39. Yeah, I've never.
It's different.
I know. Smell, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
How many have you been with?
3 or 4.
And what else is different about it?
In my experience, they like to fuck like dudes.
Well, somebody point here. What her? Whatever her name is, Rebecca Rose. No, that's the other one. Somebody said, like, okay, without being too racist, like, there's a reason black people are more of the NBA. Not just societal, where they come from a more of a ghetto, where that's the sport that's played around then, but also because they're a little bit more athletically inclined.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, maybe it's because of slavery. They were bred to fucking be workers.
Not maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
No, it's,
so it's
not
like,
maybe.
If you see dogs, that's the same shit. It's like you're breeding the fucking strong ones against each other.
Bill Burr says that about Hitler, like trying to make the master race. He said, yeah, we already accidentally did that.
With slavery?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. but with the girls, they're athletic too.
Yes.
And fucking is an athletic endeavor.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
So they're going to be.
There's some shitty romantic comedy with Reese Witherspoon where Owen Wilson plays this jock.
Yeah.
And he fucks her one night, and the next day he's just very arrogant in his own head. He's like, he was like, what do you do? And she was like, I'm a softball player. He's like, yeah, jocks are always more fun in bed. And I was like, he's right.
Wow. Keisha Hebon, that's her name. Keisha Hebon, an attorney. That's the exact type of black chick.
Just that look?
Just that look, yeah. I mean, I guess it's nice she's a lawyer, but that probably means she would never be with me.
See, that doesn't matter to us.
No, not at all.
No, if we were two chicks, like, oh, and he's a lawyer.
It's so frustrating when you go over, like, what is that person? A 9, a 7, a 5, whatever you get the number, and it's like, well, you know, I mean, I like what they do, and that's important. We're like, will you shut the fuck up?
Yeah.
When did that come up?
Who ever mentioned that? Well, they're really cool. Fuck, what the fuck?
No,
give me a number.
We're talking physical.
Yeah.
Yes. Are you attracted to that human?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ugh, so hard to talk to girls about that shit because they really care about that, and some dudes too. All right, let's get back to your girl.
She's not my girl.
Right, not your yes. girl. How long before it was over did you sort of know it was over?
Like before I even talked about it or brought it up?
Mm-hmm.
I think I talked to you about it.
Yeah, you mentioned it.
In San Francisco.
Yeah. All my southern friends, they let shit slip. Yeah, yeah, San Francisco. What were we doing in San Francisco?
It was...
Sketchfest?
No, you were in town for something, and we were working at Cobb's.
Yeah, and I went out to smoke with you and Ralphie at Cobb's. Yeah, yeah, I was there with Rogan. Maybe we were doing like a theater before the UFC.
Yeah, I think that was something
we went,
like that.
He went to sleep, and I was like, I'll go with you. And then I was like, Ralphie's still there. I'll just go walk over.
Yeah, we were at that. Yeah.
Man, he stayed up there until everybody was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then some. And then Kevin, is that his name? The manager there? The
yeah.
blonde one? He comes up and is like, okay, guys, I did all my paperwork. It's time to go.
I wish that was
Ralphie. God damn, he'd be like, all right, smoke this. He'd be like, it's a nice, it'll smooth, mellow one. It'll put you in a good headspace. Like, oh, cool, I'll smoke it. That goes around three times. Then he goes, now this will give you the munchies. It'll be really good. He packs in a different bowl full of different weed. And you're like, okay. And he goes, now this one's for when you want to. I'm like, shouldn't we isolate these?
No, he just keeps going.
Just keeps going.
Keeps going. I think that's sometimes why I get paranoid now, because I've smoked so much weed that there's probably some weird, I don't need to smoke that much anymore. There's some weird chemical change.
You know what I get paranoid about? That I'm not doing something that I have to do. And if I have to send a text or something, even as simple as that, and I'm talking to you the whole time, I'm thinking about, oh, I'm supposed to send that text.
Like,
so it's paranoid that I'm going to forget that thing
anxiety.
I'm supposed to do. Maybe that's anxiety.
But that's just, it's a form of paranoia.
Yeah. But then I do it, and I'm like, cool, I'm good now.
Yeah. Well, there's a way you can... I was reading about it, because once I started getting paranoid, I was like, I've got to read about why this happens. And what? Some people say it's like a form of schizophrenia. But those are usually... like, I read about that, too. I was like, oh, these are the same group of doctors that just don't like weed. But there's a part of the way it affects your brain. Then if you realize it and tell yourself, oh, it's just because I'm high, you immediately stop. You need a pen?
Is that how you clean it up?
Yeah.
You immediately, what? You tell yourself you're high?
Yeah.
And then you stop?
Yeah. And the way the chemicals work in your brain, you're
that where I took edibles at UFCs.
Yeah.
I just had to get obliterated. Not like get a little buzz. I want to get like gone.
In front of all those people like that?
I love it.
God.
It's too long. 6 hours long.
Oh, I guess you're there for 6 hours, yeah.
It's not just what's on TV. It's a long time.
Ugh.
Rogan's jealous, too. Me and Diaz always take him. But then...
and he's got to work, though.
He's got to work. So he'll see me. We went to somewhere once. We eat backstage, or sometimes we get there early enough. They have all this food set up.
Yeah.
Really nice food, and we'll eat, and pastries, whatever. And then we walk out together before even the audience is let in yet. Or sometimes they are. He shows up sometimes like 3 minutes before he starts. They're like, get a mic on him. He's like, okay, hey, we're here, the first fight. Like,
Jesus.
He's always toeing the line. But so we're going in, we're walking in, I take one of those breast strips and I pop it, and he goes, oh, fuck, God, I wish I could just get high with you and watch like you do.
Yeah, because he's got to be on. That I never thought about that. That must suck in a way.
Yeah.
Because you can't really enjoy it.
Well, he would watch Pride events that way before.
Oh, okay.
But now they have no Pride, so he can't really even watch. There's nothing else to watch except UFC. I bet he watches it like that when he watches those FX fights and stuff, the ones he doesn't do.
Yeah.
Because he's still such a fan. I know he watches them.
Does he still fight people? I know he used
Jiu-Jitsu.
To fight.
Jiu-Jitsu.
God.
Yeah.
Do you know Krav Maga? You're from Israel, right?
I know the son of the guy who started it, John Maga.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to take that.
Yeah, it's a nonstop. There's no such thing as John Maga, and it's not a guy's name.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know. Like I have to stop my lies in the middle where it's like people are going to be like, you're an idiot. I'm lying to my friend, intentionally lying to my friend.
But he did it well. He's a good actor, and I know nothing about it. I'm like, okay, that's weird. His name's John, but and his dad is Krav.
John Maga. But there's one time we were all backstage afterwards. I got too ripped. I got my theory on it. I was sitting next to Jamie Kilstein. He was like, what are you saying? And I was like, oh, I got to keep my mouth shut. I got to stop. I'm too obliterated. And we went backstage. Mayhem was there. Kevin James was there. And then Rogan and Kevin James' manager. He was there researching that role he did as a UFC fighter.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So he was there watching and talking to people. And the manager was there. And everybody was back there. And I realized I'm obliterated. I know nobody can tell. But I had to tell myself, like, Ari, you know you won't die, even though that thought went through your head.
Yeah.
You know when you're sober that people have said you can't die on this stuff. So now in your crazy mind, you can put that out of your mind.
So you're not going to die.
I'm not going to die. And I just know, like, this will pass. Just close your mouth and enjoy. And that'll, like, help bring you back to reality a little bit.
I wish I would have done that in that hotel room in Bridgetown.
What'd you get? When we were mushrooms on, there?
Yes.
Yeah.
So fucked up.
And what happened to you there?
I just couldn't stop talking. And then the room would get real, real quiet. But there were, like, what, 10 people in that room?
Yeah. Where was it? Was that with, what's his name, from San Francisco?
Yeah, Chris Garcia gave
Chris
it to
Garcia,
me.
Chris Garcia, yeah. I walked in. He was under the covers, not sexually, just under the covers with a girl when we all walked in.
But he was naked and she had her clothes on.
Oh, yeah. But he was just like in a loving state.
Yeah.
He wasn't like in like, I want to get laid.
Yeah, because I was like, did you fuck her? He was like, no, man, I just wanted to be next to her. I was like, oh, okay.
The naked has something to do with something else.
Yeah, it was. Not connected. It was not related, yeah.
Yeah. Chris Garcia, yeah. I think that's when I really met him. I'm like, fuck yeah, man. You're a cool guy.
He is a cool guy. The first morning I met him, because we all stayed in that room, I didn't really know him. And we just got fucked up the night before. And I walk in the bathroom, he's taking a shit, and I was just putting water on my face. I was like, hey, what's up? I'm Billy. He was like, hey, I'm Chris. He was just taking a shit. He was like, he told me later, he was like, I knew that we'd be all right after that.
If that's how you meet casually. Yeah.
And he was like, you were just so calm about it. I was like, what are you going to do?
Wait, we keep getting sidetracked off this fucking topic I want to talk to, which is fine, but I want to try to bring it back. Were we halfway through anything?
I don't know.
You got to pee?
Yeah. Keep going.
I'll pause it. Well, all right, you can pee. It's fine. No, you can pee. It's fine. That's why I have the long cord. No, that's why I have the long cord. Does it not reach? No, it's all wrangled up. As we like talk about something, we're back. We pee-peed.
Yeah, sorry.
Pause for a second. It sorry about that. For like a split second. But like, yeah, I was going to roll a joint, but then we start talking. I'm like, oh, I'd rather have this on the podcast.
Yeah, that's true. We were having a conversation about pot.
That's the problem. It just goes to the same thing. Let's get back to this marriage shit. So you get paranoid on weed, so you don't do it anymore. Okay, fine. Good enough.
Yeah.
When it was at its worst, because you had a bad breakup.
Yeah.
It's not like a, you know,
I had
what?
A bad marriage.
Just, yeah, it really was, right? Oh,
it
that's
was.
What you're saying. Yeah, you told me about this beforehand. You're like, I don't know how much longer I'm going to stay with it.
Yeah, I don't think I've got to figure a way to get out.
Your head.
At that point, I was already thinking, I need to get out and I need to figure out how to get out.
Yeah. Now,
because that's something you're not prepared for either. Because, like, when you're dating and stuff, you're like, oh, I need to break up with him.
That's hard.
It is. That's hard enough.
But you don't live together.
But you're not legally bound either.
You got to sign paperwork. You can't just, you know what? I'm just taking my two shirts and I'm getting the fuck out.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
You can't. Now, it kind of ended up like that.
Yeah.
To where, I couldn't contact her and all that. I just kind of had to come grab stuff. Yeah. At one point, she was like, do you want to come like divvy up half the stuff? And I was like, no, I just want my clothes. You can keep everything.
That's it.
I don't.
That's how bad it was. It was a bad relationship.
It was.
You fought a lot.
A lot.
Now, after that time where you told me, like, I'm thinking of getting out, because for you to tell me that, you had to be well over 50% at that point.
I was 100%.
100% I want to get out. Now,
I was ready to get out. I was figuring how to get out at that point.
Now, after that, and before you got out, in between, did your thoughts go back to, like, no, you know what? This isn't, I can make this work.
No.
You never did?
No.
Okay, interesting. So, at what point, if you had to go back now, and not like I never would have gotten into a relationship with her. That's not a popular answer. But at what point would you have said, hey, chick, I think we should get divorced. Now.
Now?
Yeah. Looking back, at what point would you have told yourself, like, hey, man, tell her right now? Ideally, it's the first. Because people stay in relationship
I would say
for a
about,
while longer than it's bad.
I would say about a year in.
A year in.
No, I would say a little over a year in after it. Because the first anniversary, everything.
Still
you know, there,
still okay.
It was. You know, there were some rocky points where you're just kind of like, but, you know, I'd never been married before kind of thing. She's 6 years older than me. You know, so they were different. She's Puerto Rican. I'm a white guy from Tennessee. So the cultural things, I was like, okay, maybe this is this and this and this.
Yeah.
And you, like I say, like I was like going down a slalom and it was just red flag after red flag and I was just flying by them. You know, like stuff that I see now, like afterward, you know, like I've dated several people before. I'm dating my girlfriend now, who's great. that immediately I see these things, I'm like, nope, I can't deal with that. So I'd say about a year and a half. And when I realized, oh, this thing she does is never going to go away. And she doesn't seem to want to work on it.
This thing she does. What's the thing she does?
She had anger issues mm-hmm. and stuff. And I really didn't blame her because of the way she grew up.
Yeah.
But after a while, sometimes people don't want to get help.
No, they don't. They like being the way they are.
Yeah.
People are forces of habits.
Yeah. And, it works for her. She does all right.
Even if it doesn't work for her, she still doesn't mean she wants to change.
Exactly. And then I couldn't deal with it anymore. And then you just stay in way longer trying to make things work.
So about a year in it. And you stayed for another 2 years after that.
Yeah. And got her pregnant.
This is before you had a kid. Yeah. Yeah.
Sex was always fantastic.
I'm sure. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that part was always great.
Yeah.
So that's also why you put up with a lot of fights, because you just fight.
But you're like, but we can work this out.
And then we'd fuck. And it
I
was love just,
this. I went out with this girl for a while, and I was wrong later. It turned out I was wrong. But I thought she was getting like too into me.
Yeah.
Not that I'm so amazing, but like I just didn't want her like a one-on-one girlfriend. And at first she didn't either.
Yeah.
I thought she was starting to get too attached. I was wrong. But all the time when I was like, I should just tell her. It's the right thing to do. Just tell her, like, let's just end this. But she used to, every morning when she left, and it wasn't every day, but every time she was at my place and left,
yeah.
she gave me a blowjob before she left in the morning. And I had to tell myself, dude, what are you throwing away here? Think this through.
But I don't think some women get it, like women like that, that it really, a blowjob in the morning for a dude, you can handle anything.
Yeah.
Your day.
I've started doing a bit about it, but it's like, yeah, I don't want to do any of the jokes from it, but like, it just makes you feel better.
Everything.
The whole day.
There's just a giddy up in your step. Mm-hmm. Nothing bothers you that bad.
She would do it and then go. She was dressed like, because I tell people like, you can't wake me up. If you're with me, like if you're an early riser, rise and leave. I'm an asshole
when I wake up too.
So just tell, I'm telling you, don't wake me up. She wouldn't. She would wake me up for that and then fucking go. I go right back to bed for an hour and then wake up a feeling wonderful.
Amazing. You get more stuff done.
Way more.
Yeah. It's very simple.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's sexual.
Just makes you feel powerful or something.
I think it's a release in the morning.
Maybe release, just that, just chemically.
It's like, ah. But it's, you're not doing it, too.
Right, because I've jerked off in the morning. It doesn't give me that pep.
Yeah, yeah.
It's normally I'm a jerk off. It's more like, what the fuck is wrong with you,
now
man?
I got to get up and clean this up.
The day hasn't even started yet. You're already giving in.
Yes.
You got no chance.
It is the opposite, yes.
Okay. Oh, so the sex was good. So you're like, all right, well, it's still.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that would keep you there.
Yeah, and I did. I mean, there's still a part of me that loves her.
How much?
As a person?
Mm-hmm.
Who she is? What do you mean, how much?
Percentage.
Like, percentage?
Because that's what, every time people break up, they go from, I love you 100% to I hate you 100%. I'm like, that ain't honest.
No.
You love them 80% to hate them 60%.
Yeah.
It's like you still there's still things you love about them. You love the way their smile makes you feel, or that you just don't get it anymore.
I don't know. I don't like putting a percentage on that, because right. love is such a like mm-hmm. complicated thing where like I would never want to be with her again.
Yeah.
In a million years. It would never work.
Yeah.
I'd never work.
Friends like that. Like it ain't going to work, but it would be nice.
No,
for like
I don't
a week or two.
I don't think it. No, I don't even want really? That. No, not even that. But I mean, I made a child with her, who's amazing.
That's not what I've heard.
Really?
Yeah. Ralphie's kids tell me your kid is a punk.
Oh, they never met. So
I think Ralphie's kids said your kid was avoiding him,
that's
Tyson
true.
Avoided Holyfield.
It's true. That's true. My son is huge, though. I want Holyfield. So that connection, I know, I think that's, I think if we didn't have a kid,
yeah,
it would be totally different where I'd just be like, I don't care.
Nothing to do with you ever.
Nothing.
So you have to talk to her now?
Yeah.
And how is that?
Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's, I mean, there's still some complicated legal stuff. She moved to Arizona, some stuff like that. And then,
Where's the kid?
He's in Phoenix.
She's got him.
Yeah.
I'm
going to see him at the end of this month. So.
Should I try to fuck any of your friends?
I don't know. I see. That was another thing.
You didn't hear about it?
Huh?
You didn't hear about anything?
I didn't hear anything.
Okay. I didn't either. I'm just wondering.
But that was another thing. Like, as soon as we split up, people were like, what if she fucks him? I'm like, good.
Oh, right.
Good.
Yeah.
Go.
Sometimes you're like, yeah, I want her to move
yes,
on.
Yes, that's
I want
great.
Her not be mad towards me.
Yes.
Let her be mad towards someone else.
Yes. Yes. Like, once I was done, I was done.
Yeah.
So there was never like, oh, we should work this out, blah, blah, blah. I was like, no.
But you're legally obligated to talk to her once in a while now.
Yeah, I mean, we
not
have
completely,
to.
Completely, but like pretty much legally.
I have to communicate with her because of him.
Yeah. So how is that? That's forcing you to stay with someone longer than you would.
I mean, yeah. Oh, it's not. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's
not natural. If not for him, you wouldn't seek her.
No. I mean, I don't know if that's entirely true because of the business we're in, and mm-hmm. she still does radio. So.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some tough times. Like, she was on that cooking show on Fox. Is it MasterChef?
Cakes.
Huh?
Oh, MasterChef.
Yeah. And there was one point where I was just struggling. Like, and I was...
look at her and I'm like...
Well, no, I was in L.A. I came down here to do some audition and not done well.
Yeah.
And, like, it was one of those times where you come in for, like, a day and then you go back out on the road.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, I didn't do well. It was hot. I'm schlubbing my suitcase. Walking down the street in LA, it's like 100 degrees.
Yeah.
Going to meet somebody that's going to take me to the airport. And I'm just like feeling like shit. And I look up one of those digital billboards. At first, it said Dodgers playing blah. I look up again and it's got MasterChef on Fox Tuesday nights and a big picture of her and all the cast. And I was like, come on, universe. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, that's annoying. You know what? The worst breakup, I believe, is Brad Pitt and
Aniston,
because Aniston found out that she lost her man, not just losing him, but lost her to someone.
Yeah.
And when they met, the husband and the mistress was on this movie, the shooting of the movie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And then that movie came out, and she had to see giant billboards.
God, I never...
The moment that she lost her husband to... Not only one of the hottest girls in the world, to one of the hottest girls in the world, photoshopped all over the fucking city. Like, you want to avoid it. All I had to do was avoid Mad TV for a while when I had a girlfriend leave me for one of those guys. I could just not turn on Comedy Central. No big deal. She could not have left her house. She could not have left her house for like a month or two.
God.
Yeah. I mean, that was covering the side of fucking hotels.
Yeah. Like all down Sunset.
Standing next to each other. Like, oh, there they are, happy.
Yeah, that's where they met.
That's where they met.
Yeah,
they're there together.
I wonder when they did that photo shoot if they fucked before or after or both.
Yeah, I don't know. Good question.
God, I never thought about that. That's terrible.
That had to be the hardest. And also, she's like, I'm a really attractive person, but not compared to this girl. Next to this girl, I'm a 4.
Yeah, like I'm considered one of the hottest girls in the country, but not
compared to Angelina Jolie. She had to be like, oh, fuck, I got fat on me. My nose isn't good enough. I'm surprised she didn't completely, like, go down a fucking hole.
Well, she hangs out with Chelsea Handler now, so.
No way.
Jennifer Aniston?
Really?
I think they do. I think they're friends.
Wow.
So she didn't go.
Did you ever, while you were going through this breakup or all of it, this divorce, did you ever even consider, I'm talking about the thoughts went through your head and then passed and you said no, murder?
Oh, no.
Never.
No, well, I mean, like, the thought passes where you're just like, that'd make everything seemingly better.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, I don't think it was murder. It was like, it's that wish of like, oh, this would never happen. I wish she didn't exist.
Oh, right. That's different. That's not murder.
Yeah, more than like, I'm going to go kill her.
When I've gotten girls pregnant, and the first one, while she was deciding what to do, those thoughts went through my head consistently.
Like murder?
Like, maybe I'll just do that. I'll push her over a cliff, or we'll go somewhere like romantic, and I'll just kill her and make it look like an accident.
So that's how that stuff happens, and those dudes just don't stop.
They don't want, and they see the opportunities right there. Mm. Like, if you I didn't have a boat. That one guy did.
Yeah. Some people think like that, I think.
I mean, I've talked to other people, too, in terms of, like, abortion. We're like, this is going to change my life, and I don't want you to do this to me. Like, maybe I'll just the thought, and then you're like, no, I can't. I might go to jail for a long time for that.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
You're going to get caught. Time. You're going to get caught. You're the first person they look at.
You got to crisscross it. Alibi. I'll do yours. You do mine. Strangers on a train. Let's make it happen. Throw on from the train.
You have thought about this.
Yeah.
I mean, so I've thought about like a murder, too. Like the only way to get away with murder now is to kill someone you don't know. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought of that. I used to think of that in college. I'm like, maybe I'll just try to kill so I know what it feels like. Kill a random person so that no one would suspect me because I have no motive.
Yeah.
Other than sociopathy.
And just want to see how it feels. I could never do it because my name is Billy Wayne Davis.
So what?
So they'd immediately some cross. Look at you. There's some cross reference. I'm sure it's some FBI lab. They're like, well, we've got to, his middle name's Wayne. We've got to.
Oh yeah. Who else? There was the other Wayne that was like a murderer.
John Wayne Gacy.
That's it.
Yeah. There's several.
Didn't he get his dick cut off? That was somebody else. John Wayne Bobbitt.
John Wayne Bobbitt got his dick cut off. And then he was in porn with his reattached dick.
Severed fucking Franken dick.
Which, for some reason, people had a problem with. I thought that was the best thing ever.
Why wouldn't he show it off?
I was like, that's...
You know what you're getting going in.
Yeah.
Reattached
penis.
He needs
to capitalize on this.
Yeah.
That was horrific.
Yeah. Did you... let's see if you can talk about this or not. So you're done with the marriage. There's nothing about the divorce. Nothing can like change in the custody battles at all. I'm not going to ask you if you ever hit your kid or anything, but like...
No, I've never needed to.
How many times did you cheat on her while you were married?
While I was married?
Yeah.
Probably twice.
Twice. Yeah. Early, mid?
Late.
Late. That was already when you were trying to get out? Or
yeah.
Or was like already when your head had checked out and you just hadn't like had the talk yet?
It's probably...
Once you're separated, it doesn't count.
I think one time it was just I was really drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Like really drunk.
Yeah.
And then, like, I didn't even fuck anybody else. It was, but I cheated. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's enough.
And then, once right before the end, it was just some random person on the road.
And you were just done.
I was already done.
So you're like, this is nothing to do with anybody. Did you even think, like, I shouldn't do this? Because I'm married?
No, I just thought of it as, like, I need to fuck somebody right now. And that girl wanted to fuck me.
Yeah.
And she, it was like, yeah, it was like... Some hotel, met her at a hotel bar or something like that, where she was some businesswoman. She traveled too, so it was just that thing that sometimes
met her in a hotel. What song is that?
I don't know.
It's a Foo Fighters remake of some song. It's Cry, Nikki Cry.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
That's a good song, Nikki Cry. Cry, Nikki. Yeah. Did she cheat on you that you knew of?
Not that I knew of.
What do you think?
Probably.
She's fiery. Fiery people, what are they not going to cheat when you're on the road?
Well, she's on the radio and she has an ego like we do.
Yeah. And you're gone.
Yeah. I mean, there was one time, this was about the time when I was like, something's weird. Where I came home. And I was at our apartment, and it was one of those controlled access apartments. And
what does that mean?
You have to buzz in.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I was just sitting there, and somebody knocked on the door, and it was this dude I'd never met. And he's like, hey, is blah, blah, blah there? And I was like, no, I'm her husband. Can you, do you want me to tell her anything? And when I said I was her husband, like, you know, that just that little brief second of like, he's like, no.
Just so you notice it. Just enough.
Yeah, just where I was like, okay, that was...
Who knows what happened.
Yeah. It was just weird. And then, you know, she came in and was like, hey, some dude came by.
Yeah.
Looking for you. And she was like, oh, that's weird. And then, like, changed the subject. And I just remember thinking, like, okay.
Yeah. You get a couple clues. It's not enough to prove it to anybody. You can't win in an argument.
No.
You're like, but I know.
Just little stuff, yeah.
I saw, and it might just be that they're flirting, but, like, something's up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a girl, I was staying in her studio apartment. With her, I was typing on like pretty much like a hotel room like this, but in there would be the kitchen.
Yeah.
And then the bathroom would be there, or vice versa. And I was sitting on her computer like that, and phone rang, and she's talking, and she's like, oh, hey, how you doing? And then she walked to the kitchen. And I just looked, and I was like, oh, odd.
Yeah.
It just made me think. And then within a couple weeks, I started like looking at her email and stuff,
And that dude who was talking to was like constantly flirting with her online, saying like, we should fuck. Like,
yeah.
And she was like continuing it. I was like, oh, I knew that I was picking up something. I had no idea who called, but I could tell. It ain't some girl. It ain't your father or brother.
Yeah.
This is somebody who's trying to... She wasn't even saying anything. Just the way she walked out. You can pick up on those things.
Yeah. Did she...
What?
Did she cheat on you with him?
Not with that guy. With somebody else later.
Oh.
But,
Because sometimes,
What?
Sometimes everyone likes to be...
Yeah, pursued.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's like, at that time, too, it's almost like I would get mad about it. It's like, how dare you? But then reality, it's like, thinking about it now, looking back, it's like, yeah, you should be allowed to do that. You should be able to feel attractive.
Yeah.
If you have these rules of, like, don't fuck. I don't agree with those either. I'm like, go fuck whoever you want. But even if you don't do that, you're like, you should let somebody flirt with you. You can feel good. Having some girl tell you, like, oh, I would take you home. Like, oh, I got to go catch this plane. But it feels good.
It does.
Got a naked picture sent to you.
Yeah, no, yeah. I've never understood that. Like, she's over there flirting with that guy. I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
She's not fucking him.
Yeah. You just want her to not have, like, red-blooded feelings?
Yeah. And chances are, he's doing most of the work for you.
Yeah.
You're going to go home and fuck her. Yeah, I've never, yeah.
Do you have to give her alimony or anything?
No, she was making more money than me, but...
You're too poor, that's the only reason?
I pay child support.
What does that mean? Money for the child?
Yeah.
Which is like clothes, food, how do they come up with that number?
It's a percentage of what you make and stuff.
Always percentage of what you make? Like if you live in a sitcom, does that go up?
No, they set. I don't know about that. I need to look into that.
Because there's two things. There's alimony and there's child support.
Alimony's for her.
Right. And child support...
is for the kid.
Yeah. And that stops when he's 18.
Yeah.
Just, I no longer have to pay a dime. Now, you can after that, but you don't have to pay this check every...
I'd send it to him.
So the check goes to him?
No, the check goes to an agency.
And they say, you use this for whatever. But can't she, like, take that money and, like, buy herself a meal with it?
Yeah, technically.
You would have to, like, have accounting work done if she did it too much?
I'm probably, but, you know, I'm a little behind because there was a period where I was paying lawyer fees, and so...
You didn't have the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks, because you're labeled something. You're like, God damn it, I can't.
You're labeled an abandoner or something.
Yeah, it's just you're labeled, and it's a weird thing, and there should be that shame there, because some people just don't do it.
Just like,
But, like, when... You're a normal person. I just can't.
I'm barely making my rent.
Yeah, I've got to pay these lawyer fees. I got to do this. Yeah.
Well, what it should be is you both, like if you were in a union together, you both just work as much as you need to together to get the kid's stuff paid for.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he fucking tore his jeans. Well, do you have any money? Oh, yeah. I got $20. We got 13. All right, it's 33. Let's go buy him some jeans for $32 or less.
Exactly. But it's relationships.
Yeah.
So weird.
Looking back, would you have done it like different, or what are the things you would have changed, and what are the things you would have like, no, I'm glad I did it that way in this divorce?
I mean, I wish I would have got it out
sooner.
Yeah.
You'd be more unscathed if you got out sooner.
I definitely should have stopped boozing, because that clouded a lot of judgment.
Okay.
Because I was masking a lot of stuff.
With booze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was my release. I would just go get fucking shit-faced. Yeah. And I didn't... While I was shit-faced, you're not thinking... You know, it's that...
Dealing with things?
Yeah. So it's just a break.
Yeah.
And then the next day, you're hungover, and you're not, you know, probably doing the things you should be doing. So I would probably stop boozing. I don't think I could have communicated any better than I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how would you... So that's the thing you did right. So how did you communicate? Like,
I just told her how I felt.
Constantly?
Towards the end, yeah.
And what did you say?
I mean, at one point, she had to go to the doctor.
I feel like I hate you. She had to go to the doctor, yeah.
You know, and she was taking these pills that would, like, balance her out. But then she stopped taking them, stopped going to therapy, and things kind of took a turn again. No, while she would do that, things would be normal and communication would be
good. She went to therapy and would get bad?
No, when she didn't.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes more sense.
And when she didn't take the medication.
What medication was it?
I'm not exactly sure.
Depression?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some stuff like that. Some stuff from her past that she needed to deal with that affected her. And then So she'd not take those.
Why would she not take them?
It's that cycle's weird to watch, man. It's at first you get mad at them, and then you realize like it's just more than disease. It's just more than that.
It's weird. I mean, Brody got off his meds, and you know about that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But he keeps pointing to like, well, I was on antibiotics, so I'm like, you keep saying I was on antibiotics. That's not a reason why you couldn't take that other pill too.
Yeah.
He goes, I was concentrating on the antibiotics. Like, what concentrating? You take them both at the same time.
They wouldn't give you those pills if they didn't go with those pills.
Concentrating. Here's what it is. When people are on those pills, a lot of times, depression, anxiety, social anxiety, whatever it is, schizophrenia.
PTSD.
They feel like I should be able to do this without the pills.
Yeah.
And so you feel like weak for having done it. And it's like, you're not weak. You need a brace. If you sprain your knee,
yeah,
you just get a brace.
Yeah.
You're not like, well, I should handle this without it. It's like, you just can't see the sprain. So everyone's like questioning, like, I've been depressed. You get over it. Like, your depression is not depression. You were depressed.
Yeah.
It's just a shitty that it's the same word.
Yeah, it's different.
And it looks the same, but it's like, you can't ever shake it. That's what's different about it.
Yeah, like, because I've been depressed, but I'm not depressed.
Yeah. I've had sore arms before,
yeah,
but I haven't had chronic pain that won't go away. That's a different thing.
Exactly.
It has to be treated differently.
Yes. I have tendonitis in my shoulder that's never going to go away.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's going to be there forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just sometimes I have to take aspirin or something. Yeah. So that's when I knew, I think I told you that in that hotel. I told you, and that's the first time I told anybody. We're sitting on our front deck, and I said, I need you to go back to therapy and get on those pills again.
Oh, really? And how'd she take that?
And she said, I'm never going to do that.
Wow.
It was the coldest thing. I'd never expected that to come. Because
she was done with it. She made a decision to stop taking it.
She was like, I'm never going to do that. You're going to have to learn to deal with me like this. And like, I didn't say it out loud, but it was one of the most clear thoughts I've ever had in my life. Was just that decision was made when she said that. I was like,
oh,
I'm out.
Well, then
I can't
be with this then.
Can't do this.
Because I've already told you I don't want to deal with it as is. You can change it. If you don't want to, then we got nothing to talk about,
Exactly. That was it. I was like, okay, you made that decision pretty easy for me.
It's like if you're selling your car, and I'll be like, I'll give you $400 for it. And you're like, oh, it's just not for sale for that. And you're like, $400 on the table. And I'm like, well, goodbye.
Yeah.
I'm not selling it for that.
Yeah, I'm just saying no.
If you don't want to come here, raise your offer, then we have nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, so you checked out right there in your head.
I was done.
How much longer did you stay with her after that?
The way we split up is really funny.
How?
I was trying to, and I told my dad about it, and I told you and Ralphie. I think you guys are like the only, maybe three or five people knew.
Okay.
And you were just, because you were there that night.
Yeah.
Not that I don't trust you.
People like opening up to me, too. I don't know what it is.
Well, and we were really stoned.
Stoned, yeah.
And it was just kind of like, yeah. It's
a trusting environment, you, Ralphie.
Yeah. And so, trying to figure out a way out. Blah, blah.
You can't talk to your friends about this stuff.
Yeah.
So you're trying to figure out a way, yeah.
And a buddy of mine, another dude knew, because he set up a Ashley Madison account for me.
For you?
For me. And he sent it to me, blah, and I kept getting emails. I never went to it. Never went to the site or anything. I just thought it was funny. So I'd delete emails when I get them, and it always make me laugh. And, people think I'm lying when I said I never went to it. I was like, why would I go do that and have, like, a fucking trail when I go on the road?
the anonymous road.
Yes.
Before Facebook.
And I'm in front of hundreds of people a night.
Yeah.
Like, why would I make a trail? And they're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I was like, come on. So I'm in Alaska, and I get there the first night, and they just get you shit-faced the first night. You don't even do a show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What did you do?
Chilcoot Charlie's.
Tripoli just did that one.
It's.
Do you get the reindeer dog during the day?
Yeah, everything's.
Reindeer dog's amazing.
I love Alaska.
I love it, too. In the summer, it's so beautiful.
It's amazing.
Yeah. What time of year did you go?
I've been in April, June, and that was October, I think.
Yeah.
That time.
In June, July, it gets up to 80. In the daytime.
And it's nice. Last time I was there, the sun never went down.
Yeah, me and David Taylor did that.
That freaked me out a little bit. After 3 days,
Yeah.
I was over it.
Yeah.
So I got like, you know, Matt Becker, Stanhope's buddy, is the bartender. They just got me fucking shit-faced.
Mm-hmm.
And I blacked out that night, and I woke up the next morning, and I'd turn my phone off and stuff. I'm smart enough as an adult when I get drunk now. I'm like, turn your phone off.
You're just going to make a mistake with it.
Yes.
You're going to text the wrong person.
Yes. And so I wake up, and I've got all these messages, just tons of messages.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck did I do? So I listened to my voicemail first, and the first one's my dad, and he's like, you figured a way out. Congratulations, blah, blah. And I was like, what's he talking about?
Yeah.
So then I checked some text messages. People were like, do you need a place to stay? Are you okay? I'm like, what the hell happened? So I just called my dad, and I was like, what? He's like, you all right?
What information are you going on?
I was like, what is happening? He was like, oh, well, evidently she found something on your email, and she went on Facebook and just posted this whole big thing. Like, I found this thing.
Your Ashley Madison account.
Yeah. And our friend, who's a computer dude, came over, and he's like, you need to take this off Facebook. He's never been to this site, because they were in my email and just went, because there's no activity.
Right.
Like, he's never been. This is all very generic. You need to. And she's like, no.
That fucking Latina shit. They don't care. They're ready to slash tires.
That was it. It was on. And so I was like, I found out. I went on stage. I was like, I just found out on Facebook I'm getting a divorce. Like, I've never liked a comment so quick in my life. Like, can I love this one?
Double like.
So that's how I figured out I was getting a divorce.
She said, I want you out of here now.
Well, I was in Alaska.
But, like, she was saying that in the post and stuff?
Yeah, we're getting a divorce, blah, blah, blah. He's been doing all this stuff.
And you never recovered from that?
Well, we were done after that. And then we talked, and then I lived. I was back in. We were separated, but I was there taking care of my son, doing that stuff. So, and then I guess a month later is when the PJs happened.
Oh, you're still living together and sleeping in the same room.
No, we weren't sleeping in the same room.
Oh, you got it from different rooms. How much is child support?
For me, it's about a little under $500 a month.
Oh, it's half rent. It's half rent.
I didn't think it was that much, and then I've told people, and they're like, I have a friend in Tennessee. He's got three kids, and he pays $600 for three kids.
And I pay. You're having a day fully?
That's the most horrifying thing I've ever heard.
Because they'll do it. They'll just base it on your current income. And then if your income goes down, then you're like, I mean, if I'm making $1 million a year, they're like, you got to pay $100,000, you know,
a year. Well, that's part of the reason I got behind, because she just reported that I made this much money, which at the time, for a while I was.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go up and down.
It's the fucking gig.
So for a while I wasn't making that much a month.
You still have to pay based on what you used to make.
Yeah. So that was very frustrating. Then you get behind and then you're like, fuck, I can't.
I don't have the means.
Yeah.
Garnish all my wages. I'm still not going to get there.
Exactly. Yeah, it was. So the part of it was terrifying. You know, just
what
horrifying.
Do they do if you get behind? Can they come after you legally, like to put you in jail?
They said they can put you in jail. They don't want to.
Yeah, because then you can't pay anything back.
Yeah. At one point, they suspended my license for like 3 days.
Pot license? That's cruel.
No. I don't know if they know I have that.
Maryland just got legal weed. Governor signed it today.
Legal?
Oh, medicinal. Medicinal.
See, Washington has legal.
Yeah, I know. I went there, I did a 420 show there. And then Seattle and one in Bellevue at night.
I was there Bellevue. The day Olympia. It became legal.
Tripoli was too, yeah.
And we were outside the show and we're up. They would just stand out there and smoke cigarettes, smoke weed anyway. Pot was never a problem in Seattle.
In like, Seattle, maybe in Washington State in the rural parts, but not
in
Seattle.
That's because people were growing it.
Right.
That's when it was a problem. They grow too much, and the DEA would be like, you can't just be a dick
have a
about
forest.
It. Yeah, come on. And we were just like, how's this going to change? This is all we. And about that time, this dude just rolled up on a bicycle with a backpack on and stopped. He's like, does anybody here need any weed? And I was like, that's how it changes.
Yeah.
Now nobody hides it, there's no code.
There's nothing.
Yeah, the dude just rolled
Nobody
up on a bicycle.
Mary Jane.
Yeah, he's like, "Does anybody want to buy any pot?" We're like, "No, we're good." And he just rolled on, and you see him stop up the street, and I was like, "That's the." That's
I was
how
in Seattle. I went to one of those open mics or whatever it was, like a booked open mic. And that who's that old guy? Hennigan.
Yeah,
and
He's got it all.
Yeah, we were all smoking, and some guy goes, I got medicinal weed. And he goes, oh, I only smoke recreational weed. I love that. That guy's funny, Hennigan.
He is funny. Yeah. He's one of the best.
And he's like a cool dude, too.
Yeah, he's an old hippie,
dude. I want to be like that when I get older.
Yeah.
He's an old hippie. That's what it is.
Him and Hedberg got in a fight over a chick once.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which I just love that story. I was like, what chick? It was like Mitch Hedberg, Hennigan.
Yeah.
You guys look up Hennigan from Seattle. He's very funny.
Oh, yeah.
He's an interesting dude.
What would you tell someone else going through a divorce what they should do, how they should handle stuff? Like advice.
Don't talk.
Don't talk.
Don't talk publicly about it.
Oh, okay.
Because they can use anything. Find a good lawyer. A good lawyer.
Yeah.
That gives a shit about you.
That likes you.
That wants you.
Yeah, because a lot of people, you think like, oh, I get a good lawyer. It's like, everyone who works is just a guy working.
Yeah.
And sometimes, they don't really care to work that hard.
Mm-mm.
That's why a lot of managers and agents suck, because they're like, I'll just collect the paycheck.
Yeah.
And field calls from the improv. If they call me, I'll get you a date. If they don't, I won't.
Yeah.
Diaz dropped a girl once, because he goes, I'm looking online all day, and you're making Facebook posts. I don't have an audition, and you're online doing Facebook. If I got plenty of auditions, sure, go on there. If I'm not, what the fuck are you doing? Do something.
He's right.
Yeah. I see you slacking off on the workday, and I'm not getting anything. Same thing with lawyers. Same thing with doctors.
Yeah.
If they don't like you, go to somebody else.
Yeah. If you don't have a rapport, fuck them. I have one great, she was the criminal attorney I had. She's great. Now, my divorce attorney, I didn't care about it.
Yeah.
And my criminal attorney recommended her. But after, you know, I realized, like, this, I should have got somebody better. That her and my criminal attorney were just, like, drinking buddies.
Oh, really?
Which, you know what? I've recommended friends of mine and their comics that probably shouldn't have done a gig, too. Because I'm like, they're fun, they need work.
Oh, yeah. But if they're too bad, then you feel like I'm talking.
Yeah, I don't do that as much anymore, yeah, because sometimes I'm like, I can't, you'll fuck it up, dude.
Yeah, man, they're really beating these fucking civilians. I guess they're not really going too far, they're just trying to arrest them.
Yeah. No, the advice, yeah, the lawyer, don't talk.
Yeah, don't talk.
Don't talk about it. Just keep your nose clean.
What does that mean? Less coke? Don't get into trouble like with the law.
Yeah. Don't. And then I'd probably go see a therapist too.
You would? A couples therapist?
No, like just like a therapist for you.
You deal with what's going on.
Yeah, because there's stuff that...
Well, see, that's the weird thing. It's like you felt like you only told a few people, and this is a major thing in your life.
Yeah.
If I'm getting a new job, I'm running by 10 of my friends.
Yeah.
If I'm getting a new car, I'm going to run it by a bunch of people.
But it's different because your friends, you're connected with...
Yeah.
So and you don't, sometimes you don't, that's another weird thing. You don't know who you can trust and who you can't.
Because who's going to go back and tell her something?
Yeah.
And tell their wife who's going to tell her.
Yeah. And who just likes to instigate and shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And also, is there any feeling of embarrassment in front of your friends when you're going through a divorce? Is there any feeling of like, I said I was in love and now I got to go back and say I'm not? So it's like, well, eat crow.
For me, because we got married after 8 months.
Uh huh. I got married after 3 weeks.
Okay, you beat me.
Two, maybe. But I'm saying, like, I get the people like, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
The naysayers.
A lot of people said that. And then, like, some people said it, and, like, I was mad at them for a couple years because of the way they said it. And then, yeah, there was that embarrassment. I have to go back. And I think a lot of it is, like, I don't like for a couple of those people to be like, I told you so.
Yeah,
because they're such fucking idiots
just
otherwise.
The thought of that they'll tell you I told you so makes me want to, like, makes me do shit. Some guy I don't even like makes you do shit. For longer that you don't like doing.
Yeah. Because I don't like that person, and I don't want them to have that power. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I wouldn't. Now, the fun thing is,
yeah,
because I got all that shit out in my 20s, and I'm only 32, that I have friends that are starting.
And so now you've been through it, so you're like, let me lead you?
Yeah, so they'll call and, you know, ask me questions. And I can tell right away, like, the way they ask and some of the questions they ask, you're like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
You You're probably going to get a divorce.
I heard this Louis C.K. bit once in Montreal, and he said, I just got a divorce, and everyone goes, oh, and he goes, don't boo my happiness.
No, it's great.
But this is what he said that I loved. He goes, there has never been a marriage in the history of the institution of marriage that has ended in divorce that was a good relationship.
Yeah.
It's already really bad, at least for one person. Maybe one guy gets blindsided, but the other person, nobody's just like, this is so great. It is so great. I love you. I love you too. Hey, let's get divorced.
Let's fuck it.
No, that's just never happened. It's fucked up already.
He's right.
Stay in shit longer.
That was when he was doing that material was like right about the time all that was happening for me.
Really?
And I was like, oh my God. Like I'm so sorry I heard about it. You're like, no.
Yeah.
We did not need to be together.
It was in a bad situation.
Yeah. And then when he said that, there's never two happy people, you're like, exactly.
Yeah. So you got out. Yeah, the people stay with shit longer. They get so worried about these naysayers. But I never said, you shouldn't do that. And I never said, like, I don't have any relation with your wife.
Yeah.
But still, like, tough to tell people. Like, I'm thinking of, yeah, what is that? Because I know other people, too, that have let it slip here or there.
Yeah.
One recently, they just filed for divorce. But like I knew like a year or two ago, and I'm like, I've heard you let shit out here or there.
Yeah.
That I know you're ahead of or at least thinking about it. And it's like, once you start tossing around divorce in your mind, tell me if this is wrong or right. I mean, just in your case, once you start tossing around divorce in your mind, it's time to get a divorce.
No.
No? Okay.
What? No. Well, I mean, how many relationships you been in?
Let's say 6 or 7.
Okay.
Like good, solid relationships.
Yeah. And there were times where it's like, they're getting on your nerves.
Mm-hmm. Not like, I need a break, but like, I want to end this forever. I'm thinking of ending this forever. I'm thinking of breaking up.
I got married in such a way that was almost whimsical and quick.
Yeah.
And it really happened without me even
doing much effort.
Yeah. Really, I didn't do much at all.
Yeah.
I just kind of went with it. When I'm being really honest, I was like, "This would be fun." Yeah, she's really fun. Too. Yeah,
she was like, "You want to get married?" I was like, "Fuck yeah!" All right, I guess I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't have to make a big thing, do we? Nah.
No, she was like, "Yeah." She was like, "We'll go to Vegas." I was like, "This, yeah, let's."
I did mine in the belly room. Easy. Those are the best marriages.
Yeah,
let's just honor the people that are getting married. Let's not deal with fucking $15.
Well, that's
plates.
The thing. For a while, we were trying to get divorced civilly, and then it just that one thing happened.
And then it went.
It just, phew, and then it was not civil.
Is there, because it's a feeling of rejection when you're getting divorced, so maybe that's why she got angrier about it and you got angrier about it?
Well, I think she wanted me to admit, like when we got back on speaking terms, she wanted me to admit that I did the Ashley Madison thing.
Uh-huh.
At one point, she said, if you admit you did that, we can work on this relationship.
Uh-huh.
And I just looked at her, I was like, I'm not going to admit to something I didn't do.
Right, and she's like, I know you're lying, just tell me.
Yeah. And I was like, and that's a weird thing to say, if you do this, we can do this.
Yeah.
It's like, if you really wanted to work on it, we could work on it.
But it's based on, that's why, yeah, that's what Israel says about Palestinian negotiations. That Palestinians always like, got to stop building before we even talk. And Israel's like, look, we're just going to keep going as is. And we're willing to talk at any point.
Yeah.
But we're not going to do stuff just to get to the table.
Yeah. That was a weird, and I was like, okay. I was like, I'm not going to admit to something I didn't do. And she was like, I was like, I didn't do it. I didn't. And
wow.
So I think that bothered her. And then I've talked to friends that were familiar with both sides and knew both of us. And one guy said it the best. He was like, now she's mad at you because she opened a door thinking you'd come back in.
Oh, and then you didn't, and then it became a rejection.
Yes.
It's like, nah, I'm good out here.
Yeah, like, once that door was open, I went and closed it behind me. I was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore.
And then at that point, it's like, well, if I feel rejected, even though if I'm started all this, I'm going to lash out.
Yeah.
Girls don't handle rejection very well. Neither do boys, in all fairness.
No one does.
Neither do boys, yeah.
Yeah, I know dudes that just act like a child when they get...
That's why I said I try not to judge people. I've done it too many times. I try not to judge people in breakups. The behavior is not stuff you're going to
say,
like, yeah, I was right to do that. Like, years later, there's no rhyme or reason. Like, they only went out for 2 weeks. None of that matters.
Nope.
When your heart's broken.
It's just that emotion takes over.
Just happens.
Yeah. No, I went wild. I went wilder than I was. Just kind of fucking people after all that.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you get back in the game and stuff?
Yeah, it was weird to get back in the game.
So you went crazy, tried to like...
No, I wasn't. It was just like, I just wasn't turning down a lot of pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing.
Was it because you were pent up?
No. I mean, I was getting... Well, we still had sex a couple times, like several times during the separation.
Whose room?
Once in the kitchen, I think, one time. It's just weird.
Start making out and then turn her around and...
Yeah, just on the floor.
Latina stuff.
There was a weird...
Wild.
But it was like... It's also like you're still connected, too.
Right. And you have this history.
Yeah. And that part was never bad. To just go away.
Right.
You know what I mean? That part was never bad.
Yeah.
So... Probably shouldn't have done that a couple times.
Yeah.
That probably, you know... Actually, I shouldn't have. But...
I did it once with a girl. We're having like a... We broke up, and then you know, you have to talk like four or five more times.
Yeah.
To like, just, I don't know, here's your book. And they're like, well, why did you do this one thing? Just have to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And then we're in my apartment. I was like, let's go lie down in the bed. And just like, I was still in love with her. And I was like, let's just cuddle. Let's just hold it. And she goes, oh, I guess, I don't know if we should have sex, but I guess we can. And I was like, oh, I wouldn't even think about that. No. But yeah, we'll have sex. Sure.
I mean, we should do that.
Let's put it on the table. But I wasn't even thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's like, yeah, now it's all I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
Did you say that?
Yeah, that was a weird thing. Where after a while, you're just like, nope, can't. And then when I did that, because there was a couple times she wanted to, and I was like,
we shouldn't do this.
Yeah. That didn't help.
And then that made her madder?
I'm sure. She didn't act mad, but she was just like, yeah, you're right. Well, but then things would get a little more difficult after that.
Right.
There's just stuff you just don't know. Like, that's why I say get a therapist.
Yeah, he can help you through these things.
Yeah, because you realize you're not alone.
That's another thing people like with pills. They're like, I don't need someone to walk me through this. Like, yes, you do. Everyone does. Everyone helps. Like, you talk to your friends about it. You need someone to help you walk you through this stuff.
Yeah.
They don't tell you who to hate or who to love. They just say, and then what did he do next? And you're like, well, he hit me a lot, but he really loves me. And then they won't even say like, no, he doesn't. They'll say,
is that a constructive way to show his love?
That you know show that they love each other.
Yeah.
Like, I guess no one else does it like that. And then you come to the decision for yourself. You're like, maybe it's not.
Yeah.
They just ask questions.
I had a rough 2 years.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't allowed to see him for a long time.
Right.
That was the hardest thing.
Well, because he's the problem. He's the one pissing on pajamas.
Yeah.
Without him, there'd be no pajamas in the face.
It is his fault. You're right. God, I should tell him that. that shouldn't screw him up forever. Like, you know.
How old is he now?
He'll be 4 in July.
Okay. So he's just starting to get a personality.
Yeah. He's really sharp somehow. I didn't really live anywhere. I was just on the road for 2 years, just drinking.
Is that when you had no home?
Yeah.
Tom Rose is like that now still.
I mean, technically, this is my home right now until I move in on Saturday.
Yeah.
But, technically, I do have a... I put a deposit down, which is...
Yeah. You'll have one.
Which was kind of cool yesterday. I was like, oh, all right.
You got a place.
I'm like a fucking person again.
It's just a month, though, right?
Yeah, until I find a permanent place.
Then you're going to find a permanent place. Okay. How are you going to handle your son with this divorce? Like, how do you handle that? Let's just say, do you look ahead to when he's 15 or 16?
Yeah.
And what are you going to do?
What do you mean?
I mean...
It's very vague.
Dice broke up, yeah. Dice broke up with his wife once. And I asked him once, I was like, and he sort of had a contentious divorce too.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you like talk badly about her around the kids?
No.
And he goes, no, what am I going to take away their mother figure? How's that going to help me? But a lot of women do. A lot of women, maybe men too, but I know a lot of women just like to, maybe it's everybody. People just like to be supported. So you want someone to agree with you about what an asshole this guy or girl is.
Yeah.
And who's there? Well, this fucking 9-year-old. So, like, this guy's a prick.
No,
same
no.
Same thing you would say at the 7-Eleven employee, but you're saying about your husband, which is his father.
No, I knew that immediately.
Okay.
Was like, I'm his dad. That's his mom.
Does she do that?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I can't, you know, I'm not there.
Yeah.
I hope not. But, you know, all I can do is be his dad the best I can be. You know, and just not be... an asshole or, you know, whatever, if she's telling him something, I can just be me.
Yeah.
And over time, he'll be like, he doesn't do what you say, kind of thing, if that happens.
All right.
Because there's nothing you can do. That's another, like, that's the best thing that, one of the best things that came out of this whole crazy bullshit. Because it was, for a while, it was really, my life was really crazy and nothing, is that you realize that people are going to say whatever the fuck they want to say no matter what.
Mm-hmm. So stop caring.
So who gives a shit?
I go all the time. People are going to say, well, I think it's because of this. When I know it's not because of that.
Yeah.
But then it's like, well, why do I care?
Exactly.
Let them think it. It doesn't change.
They're going to think that anyway because they want, because it's something. It's not about me. It's something about their perception.
Yeah. Like if we walk through that park, if we walk to Langer's and you have to go through MacArthur Park, which is like the heroin den, and somebody sees me and goes, well, why else would you be there if not for heroin? And you're like, because it's Langer's is on the corner.
Yeah, there's
but like, I'll never get a chance to tell them that because I won't know. They'll talk about it behind my back.
Yeah.
It's out of your hands. Don't even think about it.
Yeah, I have friends that wouldn't go party at a gay bar.
Because they're afraid everyone's going to say they're gay.
Or what if somebody from my work's there?
Then they'll think you're gay.
Like, okay. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Seattle. Who cares?
Yeah. Remember when Lamont and Fred were both in the same gay bar? Alternately, they walked in the wrong time. And one went in. I think Lamont went in. And was like, oh, it's a gay bar. Oh, Jesus. And they started leaving. And right then, Fred was walking by and saw Lamont coming out of a gay bar. He's like, what? Positive Lamont was gay.
I'm not sure he's not.
What happened to Lamont Sanford as a person? Not as a character, but like, where's the guy who played him? Does he think he saw his money? Is he a real estate broker now?
Well, they still play those shows.
Yeah, but those are the days before like residuals, right? I'm looking him up.
I don't know. Corey Holcomb told me something one time. Early on. He goes, you know who they never talk about?
Who?
I was like, who, Corey? He was like, those motherfuckers that go make that money, you hear about them for about a year and a half, 2 years, and then you never see them again.
Like reality show stars that everybody's talking about.
Or just like, even like great character actors, like Ken Jeong.
Uh-huh.
You know, like someone like that that for a while is just everywhere.
Yeah.
And then you never see them again, and they're just, because they made that money and they were smart with it, and they just go live a normal life.
I was thinking about Zach Galifianakis recently. He's like, he's made enough off that second Hangover movie and the third one now too.
Yeah.
Which I'm not going to bother with. It's like, you already fucked me over for the second one.
Yeah, I was disappointed in the
second one. You've lost me, so I'm not coming back. Even people are like, oh, it's not good. You've lost me forever. But
you'll never see it?
No, if people say enough, I'll watch it on TV. If people give enough good press, then I'll watch it on TV later. But no, I mean, they stole my money. So
yeah.
That second one was really just them filming their vacation.
Yeah, kind
of,
yeah.
And then like, hey, let's cut together a semi-plot out of this vacation. Yeah, that's really what it looked like.
Yeah, the end was weak.
They're all on speedboats, and like, you're just trying to use a speedboat.
Yeah.
You're just like, hey, we can use a speedboat.
Or that shot at the restaurant at the top. Yeah, I was like, no, you just wanted to.
You're trying to spend money on a helicopter.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Yeah.
What are we doing here? There's nothing funny about this. Anyway, by the way, he's a minister now.
Okay,
Damon Wilson. But I was like,
that's really smart because there's no taxes.
Oh yeah, nice.
Funnel that's why all those R&B singers are reverends.
And he can keep doing his splits because it's called for it. Baptist minister. What I assume is Baptist, but because
he's black.
Zach, if he wanted to, could you be like, cool, let me just do stand up from now on,
mm-hmm.
or let me just farm and fish.
Yeah,
be a writer. Like, I don't ever need money again.
No,
once you're in the $50 to $100 million range or more, it's like, I'm good forever.
Well, he already had...
Yeah, he had plenty of money from before.
Yeah.
But like now, it's like with this like bank, where it's like...
Well, he's really got fuck you money.
Yeah. He really could get out. It's like, why do people just not do that? Because if he didn't do another thing for 15 years, he could walk around the street and no one would bother him. If he stopped right now, in 15 years, no one would bother him. He could walk around almost everywhere except like Hollywood, let's say, if he didn't have the beard.
I think he could walk around most of America without the beard and they wouldn't know
right
who
now.
Was. Yeah.
Right now it might be tough because he's so popular. When that movie comes out, it'll be like people will be looking for him. Maybe even in 5 years. So like, you can have a normal life again if you want with just a bank.
Yeah. I could see him doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see him doing that too, actually. More than most people.
Yeah.
I could see him be like, I'm not an actor. I act, but I'm not an actor. That's not
pride. Yeah, you hear him talking about stuff like that and you're like, this is just...
Just been in stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, due date. He did too. Like, it's done tons of shit. He could just get out right now. Unless he enjoys it, then keep going. But, like, yeah, what happens to those people that just get out? This woman who died recently,
She was the woman in Attack of the 50-Foot Woman.
That cult, okay, yeah.
Like horror, yeah. Whatever. They found her in her home. It was like a townhome type thing in Laurel Canyon. The home was in complete disrepair. The deck had like fallen. Trees were growing through it. Because she had all this money when she bought a house, is my take on it. She had this, but she bought a house. And now she's like, well, I don't have any more money coming in.
So she can't.
I got property, but now I can't. So she was a real estate broker, which is what a lot of them do. So I have enough money to support me now. The house was from the movie, and now I just live on this real estate money. They found her window open near a heater. She was near a heater, and the window was open. She had been mummified by the mixture of heat and cool coming in because she didn't have any friends or family. No one knew about her until like months and months
later. When did this happen?
Under a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah. But that home was in disrepair, but she bought it. I think all those reality stars and the people who were like on a show for 5 years and then like, that's it.
Yeah.
Where do they go? They try to get another acting gig for a while. Every once in a while, I'll see someone I recognize from TV or movies on a commercial audition. And I'm like, you're way down.
Yeah.
But like, and then eventually they're like, let's just get out completely. I don't do it anymore.
Like the guy that played Cliff.
Huxtable? He's still big.
Cliff no, what? No, I know who Bill Cosby is.
Oh, okay.
Cliff on Cheers.
Oh, yeah. He did a couple voiceover things.
Yeah.
That's it. And he did a Denny's commercial voiceover.
Yeah. But he doesn't have to.
No, he doesn't have to. He was on a hit show for a long time.
He was one of the judges one year on Last Comic Standing when I did the audition.
Really?
When you have to go in and it's just them and the club is empty.
I did that. In front of an ex-girlfriend.
It's the worst.
Yeah, what are they doing? If I had to do that over again? Play to the fucking camera guys in the back.
I just played to the chicks because she would smile at jokes.
She would give you something instead of these hands in front of your face, like judging.
Yeah, it was George Went and Cliff.
Just have a free show.
That's what I thought, too.
Make it an hour. Get a new crowd. Like, have say free Last Comic Standing auditions. Come on by if you want. If you have 15 people there, it'll be okay. It's like they just think comedy's in a vacuum. They have no respect for what we do.
They don't get it.
None.
And then I walked, and I walked in. I remember that one. And Ratzenberger tried to... Like I mentioned, living in Seattle, I had some joke about that. And he said, he was like, oh, I used to live up there. Those are some really astute observations about Seattle. And I just went,
dude, that's
okay. Yeah. And George Went started laughing because he got it too. I was like, we're supposed to banter. That's just a statement.
Yeah. George Went's always been funny. He was like Groundlings guy.
He just kind of like, he just laughed. Like he just looked at me. He's like, I get your frustration.
Oh, they brought back the Cheers crew together to judge. Who else was there? George Went, Cliff, and who
it
else?
It was just Cliff and George
just
Went.
Just two of them. Okay.
Yeah, which was... George Went, that was awesome. I didn't care about... And then Ratzenberger. But that hit me as I was walking off. I was like, oh, that's smart. I would do that with that money. Just go live on an island in Seattle?
Yeah. The guy who owned MySpace, Tom from MySpace, lives in Hawaii. Comes in when he has to.
He never has
to. He goes, why would I not live in paradise? I've already made my...
Why does he even come in?
Occasional meetings or an interview he wants to do. Probably fuck some chick online.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Here or there to remember to appreciate why he's in paradise. That he's not the whole world's like that. But it's like, yeah, why not? Stay there.
No shit.
What else should we talk about divorce, or are we pretty much covered?
I'm trying to think. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, how do you feel like? Do you feel like this is a loss in your life or just a stepping stone to like a. Because, I mean, really, it's what you did from 26 to 35.
I'm not even 35.
Okay, it's so 20, just a few years.
26 to 29, basically. Okay,
and even if it stuck with you, but the anger afterwards, let's say it lasts till 32.
Yeah, I think the failure part, that's just more my personality.
But, like, at some point, you'll be 70, and you'll be like, yeah, that was 45 years ago.
Oh, exactly. Like, I'm in a relationship right now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were waiting for me.
And it's great.
Yeah.
You know, I can communicate with her.
Where does she live? L.A.?
Brooklyn.
Oh, that's convenient for you to move here then. Yeah.
Well, it's good for both of us. So.
Is she a comic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? I'm not going to say who she is.
Tell me after.
Because people are weird about that.
People are so weird about it.
That relation. And if I wouldn't have done... all that,
yeah.
I wouldn't be as good at being in a relationship.
I was him on TV. Man, he books a lot of commercials. Yeah.
What was it?
Oh, there he is.
Hey.
Fucking crooked tooth glasses motherfucker. You wouldn't be in a relationship now because you wouldn't have been able to handle it was what you learned from the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you would still be with her, then you definitely wouldn't be in this thing.
Well, no. Oh, and I've also learned that because of my personality and I don't like to lose,
yeah,
that I've relationships even before my wife, I stayed in longer than I should have. Like several. Yeah. I stayed in way longer than I should have.
But now you know. It's like, it's done when it's done.
It's done. And it's better for everybody to be like, okay, yeah, this isn't.
You can't get out the first day. Duncan was dating, Trussell was dating somebody once. And great relationships, fun, but it was a friend of our sister. And she lost her job. But it was all great. They lived together.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving's over there. And she started getting depressed about losing a job. And she'd become more of a homebody. And she wouldn't want to do anything. She had, and maybe it was depression. Maybe it was just like lack of effort. But she was just like angrier all the time. And that lasted for like, maybe it was good for like a year. Maybe a year and 3 months. And then it was bad for like 9 months.
Yeah.
And it, you can't, the first day she loses her job, you can't be like, well, I'm out.
Yeah.
You're
no.
getting weird. But like after a while, it's like, this is now the new normal. And I don't want this anymore.
No, that's the thing. You learn how to pick up that stuff. Yeah. Stuff that's like, well, that's not, that's just a thing that happens.
Yeah.
You don't just run.
Yeah.
But if it, you do see like that's not getting any better and that's never going to change and you can't deal with that.
Then it's like.
You're like, no, I can't.
It's my theory that no interventions, people are like, oh, I'll just have an intervention for my friend if they get too addicted to drugs or alcohol. And you're like, mostly you just drive away your friends long before they would.
Yeah.
Like the real friends would care about you. I'm like the real friends you've turned off a year and a half ago by being such a horrible drunk.
Well, that's another, like she helped me quit drinking too.
The new one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because sometimes I just go overboard.
Yeah.
And we'd argue, but that would be the only time we'd argue. It was like if we'd both been drinking.
Emily Heller?
No, no.
That's not who you're doing. No. Okay, go ahead.
I had to think who that was. I was like, no. I love Emily, but no. I think she's hilarious.
From Brooklyn. I don't really know.
you son of a bitch. I was like, what?
So sometimes what?
We'd argue and stuff, and yeah. Then she was like, you can't. She's like, you turn into a little different person.
When you argue. The new girl said that.
Yeah, when you drink.
Oh.
And she was like, there's a point you're really fun. And then like two or three after that, it's what's he going to do?
People lose track of the fucking benefits of the buzz.
Yeah.
There's something to smoking a little weed.
Yeah.
Drinking a couple of drinks to relax. You don't have to drink four bottles.
Yeah, the oblivion.
You don't have to keep going. You can, but that's a different thing than like, hey, I feel really good right now. Like that means slow down now because
yes.
You're in a good spot.
Yes.
You're going to take it to a bad spot.
See, with booze, I have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
I'm just like, let's keep, I want to feel.
Yeah, you judge, it impairs your judgment too. So you're like, throw them back more.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta drink something.
Well, if that made me feel that good, how many more of these?
Yeah.
And it just hit me. I was like, I like this girl. I think I'm in love with this girl.
Yeah.
And there have been other girls that I've been like, fuck you, I'm not going to drink and get out of here.
Yeah.
But I love her enough that I'm like, no, I need to stop.
It's going to get in the way of this. I don't want to ruin it, so.
Yeah, this is a good thing I've got.
And that's, it's not like you really base who you are on drinking.
No.
If she wanted you to stop being a comic, you're like, well, this is going to be way harder because this is my self-worth.
And my ex-wife did that a couple of times.
Wanted you to quit?
She was like, well, what if you came off the road and did this and this and this? And I was like, nope.
I'm a comedian.
I had to say that several times, this sentence. Where did we meet and what was I doing? We met at a comedy club. You were on the road doing stand-up. Why would you think that's ever going to change?
Yeah. People are like, it's not just a job. This is how I view my self-worth.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's been good. Like, I don't regret. Well, I don't want to.
What?
I try not to have regrets, but that my relationship and my marriage, something that needed to happen. And at 32, I've went through all this weird shit that a lot of people don't go through till they're in their late 30s, early 40s.
I feel bad for the people who get divorced when they're 49.
I couldn't imagine that.
Because I'm like, what the, what do you got?
You're lost. Like,
yeah.
I'm 32. I've lost fucking 27 pounds in the last 4 months. Like, I feel like a kid.
Really?
Yeah. But I'm 32. Like, yeah. I still have a lot. Like, yeah. 40. Yeah, I see. Like, I've, like, some are older comics. I've met the road comics. They're like, yeah, I'm 48. Just got a divorce. And they're out trying to get pussy on the road and stuff. Yeah. You're like, good luck, man.
Now, you're pretty old. My friend told me about his mom, Big J. Told me about his mom. Not Seattle Big J. New York Big J. Told me.
Overson, right.
Talking about his mom, like, going on some date or something. I was like, your mom went on a date? How old were you? I don't know, like, 7, 8, 9. I remember that. I was like, really? He goes, she had when she was 19. So at some point, she's a single 27-year-old, and you want to act like a mom. But the reality is, when I date 27-year-olds, my friend goes, Ari, get somebody fucking who's mature.
Yeah.
And, like, that's who you're expecting to be your mother?
Yeah.
She's just a single girl who wants the fucking attention, just like any 27-year-old wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so better to break up now than it is at 55.
What do you do?
I don't know. Just take some classes. Let's get a book club. Travel a little. I don't know.
I mean,
I think that's what happens when people are like, well, I know my parents are together and they have a good relationship. I think after you hit like 48, 49, 50, you're like, look, unless this is really bad, this is just the way we are now.
Yeah.
So let's just stay in it. Where are we going to go? Get somebody else. You cook good eggs.
Exactly.
Let's just stay with
it. Yeah, we have fun every summer at the lake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's just stay in it. Yeah, we can do better, but the amount of work it's going to take.
And you know each other that well. And I'm sure the sex is, it's not even about gone. Sex anymore.
It's not even part of the relationship.
Yeah. Remember
the beginning of happiness, when the therapist is talking to his own therapist, and he goes, and what about sex? He goes, I mean, we never do it. She never wants to, but in all fairness, I don't want to either, so really not a problem. You're like, oh, but it really isn't a problem. Neither one of them want to do it.
But that's terrifying to me a little bit. But it's also the thing about, like, Geraldo had that bit about taking Viagra. He's like, no,
let it go.
He's like, no. He's like, I want it to stop. When can I have a fucking thought that lasts longer than 8 seconds? When can I get something fucking done without that being the motivating factor? I was like, I think about that all the time. If I didn't, everything I do, so it's going to make me look good.
Yeah. It's all that Michael Jackson stuff.
Yeah. Can we just come back?
Yeah, no boners would be great. People say, like, the problems with some depression medication or whatever medication is it affects your libido. And they either mean it affects your, like, desire to have sex, or it means you can't orgasm or you can't get a boner. But I'm like, can't get a boner, can't orgasm. Those are worse.
Yeah,
don't want to fuck. That's golden.
That seems fine.
You wouldn't even miss that.
That
you're like,
seems
I don't
fine.
Have a desire.
I don't want to do that.
That's what we all want.
That's why they're so fucking happy.
Yeah,
because they don't.
They don't have the one thing that makes them sad.
That's how that shit works.
Ah, shit, the battery's gone. Yeah, that is how that shit works.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Like, why are you no so happy? Like, makes, I don't have to get laid anymore.
Remember that Family Guy thing where they had what would happen if there were no girls? Or if we didn't like girls, and it was Peter and the diggity diggity guy. It was just them reading their stock quotes, that little ticker.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, I made another million. And he goes, oh, me too. Oh, wasn't wonderful. Well, the bagels are ready. Let's go fuck it.
Yes.
Like, bing. Oh, our bagels are out of the oven. Let's go have sex with them.
It was like that old joke about, I think it's true, too, about being gay. Like, oh, it's a choice. Like, no, it's not.
Who would make that choice?
Huh?
Who would make that choice?
Who would make that choice?
Who would?
I would. If I could get off fucking a dude.
Oh, yeah.
And then just go hang out with my buddy.
Also, if you're like, if gay bashing wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Assuming that was out of the way.
Yeah.
Gay people get really mad when people say that. People say, I would definitely be gay. Because it's like, we never think about the gay bashing.
Oh,
we never have to.
That's true,
but
yeah.
The shit they go through because they're gay.
That's so true.
That's the hard part.
Yeah, I
didn't. But West Hollywood gays? Look at them. If you walk down Santa Monica Boulevard one day on a warm day, watch the fucking sidewalk cafes and stuff, they're all smiling,
happy.
Eating wings on a weekday, happy.
The best party I've ever been to was Gay Pride in Seattle. It's the best party I've ever been to.
Gay Pride here is pretty great, too. It's pretty wild.
It's so wild and fun.
People wish you the same way they wish you Merry Christmas. They go, I see these guys overcome it. They're just like, Happy Pride.
It's
Happy Pride.
Everyone's
not trying to
hit on you.
They're just
happy.
Happy.
Yes. And yes, it's the most fun I've ever had.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up and go get some Langers.
Okay. Any more questions?
What's your website? What's your Twitter account? Let's do Twitter first.
@BillyWayneDavis.
Billy Wayne Davis, spelled all the same normal way.
Yes, BILLYWAYNEDAVIS.
It's long, but at least it's not no underscores.
All that shit comes up. And my MySpace. I sent a letter to them deleting it.
I deleted my MySpace eventually because I saw that people wrote letters to me and I hadn't seen them for like 8 months or a year. I'm like, oh, people think they're getting through to me and then they're not. So I deleted the account.
I didn't even think about that. I don't even know my password anymore.
Oh. You probably get it sent to you through email. But let's not tell anybody to go to your MySpace account.
Yeah. Just Google Billy Wayne Davis. All that stuff comes up. All
right. And I'm not going to release this for a while, so I don't want to do dates unless you have something big coming up in like 5 months.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm doing my Montreal callback and 2 weeks.
Oh, that'll be cool. Hopefully
we'll
you get
see.
In.
We'll see.
All right. What, for new faces?
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, you got a southern thing. That's probably good.
Yeah, and I've lost a bunch of weight, so I look a lot better.
And you're funnier than you were a year ago.
I hope so.
Before that.
Fucking hope so, yeah.
Every time I showcased for Montreal and I didn't get it, I never got it. But I was like, what the fuck? I'm good enough. And then the next year I showcased, I'm like, well, I'm even better now.
Yeah.
Every year I was better. I'm like, maybe after like 3 years, I'm like, oh, maybe that first year that guy wasn't ready. Maybe I was wrong about that. Billy Wayne Davis, you have a website?
Yeah, somewhere. Just BillyWayneDavis.com.
Where can people find your dates if they want to?
On Facebook and Twitter.
Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thank you, man. Thanks for coming over.
Yeah, you're welcome. Ralphie thought I was going to get shot here. Once people live in the nice neighborhoods too much, they think of like diverse neighborhoods as like, whoa.
Yeah, he was like... And then I told him I'm trying to get a place over between Beechwood Canyon and Los Feliz. Yeah. And he's like, dude, no. And then he dropped me off over there. He's like, oh, I love this place. I was like,
yeah,
dude, this
it's
is where...
Life. It's just life. There's a slight increased risk of muggings, but just a slight.
Yeah.
And you get so much more life out of that.
Exactly. And there's no coyotes up down
no
here.
Coyotes. Yeah,
yeah, you have coyotes and shit up where you
the
live.
The only coyotes are people like... talking to the families of the people they got over here. Like, you're happy with my service?
Yes.
Recommend your friends in Mexico. Going back. All right, cool. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Trail is gone. Trail is gone away. Trail is gone, baby. Trail is gone. You done me wrong, baby. Gonna be sorry someday. Trail is gone. Trail is gone away from me. Trail is gone, baby. Trail is gone. But so lonely.
Well, that's the episode, everybody. Lizard. Thank you, Billy Wayne Davis. And I think it just goes to prove that sometimes your hoarding can come in handy. That was like 2 years ago when I recorded that. So that's the episode. I made it to the top. Drank a beer with some guy named Jin. Tsing Tao. Oh, I looked over the universe. God, it's high up here. Thank you, Billy Wayne Davis, for doing that, and thank you for letting me put it out. I'm glad he was able to come off what he said earlier. A lot of people can't do that. Once they say something, they just got to stick to it. Don't forget to check out Billy Wayne's podcast. The What's What podcast with Billy Wayne Davis. And check him out on Twitter, and don't forget to go to my website, arethegreat.com, where you can check out some pictures from this trip. All the music will always be in there. Ooh, butterfly. And you can go to my Amazon link and shop through my Amazon link to help out this podcast, because I haven't got a sponsor in like 8 weeks. So I'm going to still pay the guests because I feel like I have to, but I'm glad I didn't ask $50 back from Billy Wayne when he was like, can't use it. I was almost like, well, give me the money back, but I did not, and now I'm glad. Yeah, and so go through my Amazon link, go to my website, go to arethegreat.com, and then right underneath the dates on the right hand side,
There's a link for Amazon Canada and a link for Amazon United States. The U.S. is on the left. And then click on that. It just takes you to Amazon to do regular shopping. And then I get a percentage. Yeah. All right, you guys. I guess that's it. So off to Hong Kong next. I was thinking of taking acid up here. And I think it's too late for that now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode, well, I don't know, 171. The air's thin up here. Lights off with Billy Wayne Davis. Over and out. Shish it. Under the field.